Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Yeah. Everybody out there, hello to Wolf Spirit Radio, hello to People for People Radio Network, hello to TCT fans and Shaziz Radio Network and so on, all the other affiliated networks out there. How's it going? Anyway, today's show might get a little bit on the wild side, could probably frustrate you, maybe even give you a headache, I don't know. See if you can stand in there for the whole 3 hours and make it through this Knights of the Round Table. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com, or you can actually go on to shaziz.com and catch a couple chat rooms there as well. It don't matter where you're listening in as long as you get some good information and such. But anyway, if you want to listen in, if you want to join in over for People for People Radio, jump on a Super Chat and slide down to the link that says People for People Radio, and you can go over and talk with them in their chat. Wonderful folks over there as well. So we got links to send you all over the place. So, you know, this is like the porthole to the World Wide Web, the big old net. We can show you where everything's at. Yeah, look, there it is. Anyway, today we got Patty Walking Turtle on here. Or wait a second, no, Barbara Three Crows.
Stop it.
I did it again. I was thinking about her from yesterday when I was thinking about you thinking about her from yesterday. Oh, man. Anyway, we got Barbara Three Crow, which is the sister of Patty Walking Turtle. Twin sisters, I might add. Anyway, we also have Two Dog on here. Did I get your name right, Two Dog?
I think you did. You All did right. better than the doctors did.
Well, I'm getting myself in trouble this morning. Anyway, lies sound plausible when the truth is stranger than fiction. Making sense of it all in a world gone mad. That's what we're kind of going to start talking about, and who knows where it's going to end up going. But there's a video that I posted in there. I only like to watch the very first half of it, but it basically has to do with, you know, it's kind of biblical references to fallen angels, past societies, and stuff like that. Basically, to give the short rundown, the angels fell from heaven and they mated with the daughters women on the earth and created a hybrid set of beings, some part animal and some giants and such like that. And just by watching this this first intro to this deal right there, it kind of, it's hard to say. I want to say, to me, it almost sounds plausible in, if you're trying to write a story about something in history. You know, we've been told a whole lot of different stuff. And right now, like if you say you believe in giants, people might look at you slightly cross-eyed. But, you know, because we don't regularly see giants on the land. And if you think, if you believe in demons or alien entities or even... For that matter, think demons and aliens are one and the same, and you tell people about it, they're going to look at you cross-eyed. Well, then, you know, if you go deep into the rabbit hole and you're looking into the Bible and you're seeing all these things that talk about, you know, basically the Titans from way back when. Whenever you look into Greek mythology, those would have been, according to biblical reference, basically the fallen angels that were sons and daughters of the fallen angel who breeded with human women or whatever. Anyway, it basically would all if you step back and you look at the big picture, I'm stumbling on my words because my brain is moving like 10,000 miles an hour trying to figure out the right words to put it in perspective of what it is I'm trying to explain. If I'm stepping back and I'm looking at the big picture and I'm saying, you know, I know all the biblical portions of it, and I remember all the stories from Greek mythology, and I remember all the documentaries that I've seen on statues that look realistic, for example, you know, that would play into the Medusa thing. You know, if these statues, which a lot of them, they never knew who actually made these statues. It must have been a really awesome sculptorist or whatever you call them that was able to, in graphic detail, replicate a human form in, or even the animals for that matter, in, you know, with great precision, like, I mean, anatomically correct and looks real, anyway. Medusa was one of the titans that if you looked at her, you'd turn to stone. And so you got all these statues out here that look so doggone real, it's ridiculous, and it adds plausibility to the possibility that Medusa wasn't just a mythological creature that could potentially have been real. And it gets better than that. Barbara sent me a link to a video that has basically a tree that they said the leaves from this tree were longer than the Empire State Building. Sit back and contemplate on that for a second. That's a big tree. Well, once again, if that was a big tree, and at some point in time somebody cut that tree down, that must have been one big dude. That's all I can say. He must have had some big hefty tools. But it even gets better than that. You know, if you think about the biblical flood and God's wrath on the world because it went all corrupt, that all these fallen angels came down and they gave mankind all this technology that they weren't supposed to have and basically corrupted mankind. Well, and then this great flood comes in and wipes out all the giants, and you know, now you got all these fossilized rocks that kind of actually look like giants out there. If you think it's crazy now, you ain't heard nothing yet, because it gets even crazier when you go down into the rabbit hole. Apparently, there are people out there that believe that the earth is hollow and that there is this vast amount of tunnels that go through there, not just regular cave-style tunnels, but also interdimensional-style tunnels that all these fallen angels retreated to when they realized that God was fixing to flood the earth. And just when you think you heard it all, it gets even better. I mean, everything from the moon being a spaceship to being hollow to there's a dome over the top of the earth to all kinds of stuff. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has got his hand in the cookie jar. And those Snively Whiplashes that we talk about are quite literally the governments of your country and mine. You know, they're out there doing all kinds of crazy stuff while they're telling us a story about something from the past, and they have a science to back up their version of the story, and keeping you and I quite literally distracted and pitted against one another so that we could actually never really find the truth that of where we came from and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. Did giants exist? I don't know. I never saw one. But when you take back and you look at everything that you've seen as you've been down the rabbit hole, you see these big things like, what was the name of that, Barbara? That one that we talked about a while back, that tree, Devil's Ridge?
Devil's Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a botanist who's the one that said first that that was a tree stump. All right? Now, if that was a tree stump, and they calculated that tree stump being approximately 6 miles tall, that's a pretty doggone big tree. All right? And so, when you're actually contemplating on everything that you've seen and heard out here in this matrix that we call the internet, or the rabbit hole, I like to call it. I mean, on one hand, it's an awesome library of research of things that people think and believe and seen and read and looked at and all that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, it's also one massive tool for deception as well. So, is the truth literally stranger than fiction? You know, if we could only just go back and find out, if we could see with our own eyes, be witness to all these events unfolding and be able to know, we might be surprised. We might be quite literally living in something that we've actually seen on TV. It's strange that whenever you watch some of these old science fiction shows, that technology seems to represent what you saw years ago back in you know, your younger days and such. And even in the political realm, where it seems like at some point they told you ahead of time that this particular person was going to be president, or they told you ahead of time that this particular event was going to occur. I mean, they didn't come like right out and blatantly say, hey, look, we're going to blow up the Twin Towers. But it's crazy that if you go back and look at some of the cartoons and stuff like that, they had similar scenarios playing out in cartoons before the actual event ever occurred. So there's actually a group of people out there who scan all the old movies, and they look through everything for relevant events, and maybe some of them could be considered coincidental, but after so many finds, how could you then in turn saying that I don't know what cutoff point where it's no longer coincidence. So the lies that the governments tell the people, that's another part of the truth that's stranger than fiction. You know, we were talking off the air before we actually come on air, and I told you this may very well give you a headache. But And nonetheless, we were talking off the air about this thing going on with border walls and people, missing people, and, you know, all kinds of things that you actually look into the mainstream media, what they're telling everybody about children being taken and such from their families, illegal immigration, which at this point in the game seems more like an invasion as opposed to illegal immigration. And I'm just saying, catch your breath, let's slow down, and let's think about this thing for a second. You know, there are so many subjects that I'd like to talk about today, but I don't think we can fit it in 3 hours. It's that crazy. So, Barbara, we were talking about this thing that was going on about the border wall. Where you want to start on that?
Well, I think it's a really well. Thank you, Shaziz and Two Dog. I'm really happy to be here again, and everybody out there, hello. And I'm noticing that this is becoming a huge issue. It is a huge issue, but I think we're all being fed a lot of information. Some of it is manipulated, some of it is fake news, some of it is real. We have to do the research, which I do, and I'm on the fence about what is going on. I'm just noting things that I have seen or I have researched, and perhaps to other people, it's not the research they have done or it's not what they have concluded, but it's something that I'm looking at, but it is information that we must look at. I'm not concluding anything. I want to make that clear. I'm here to talk about this issue, which we all need to really get to more information about so we really know what's going on. Popping all kinds of information out as a conclusion to people is basically not going to help the situation.
No.
Now, there was a photograph of children. One photograph that I saw that was out, like, I think last month, of children in cages, and that it was really proven, by people who did research that this was not a present photograph. It was an old photograph. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't happening. I'm just saying that particular photograph, okay, was proven to be fake in regards meaning that it's not in this particular moment in time taken.
Yeah, it was
again,
actually during the Obama administration when that particular
it was done during the Obama administration, and now you have to know about the catch and release that Obama set up for the immigrants. Catch and release. Okay. Well, President Trump just eliminated the catch and release, Obama's plan, because here you go. So the system is like this. It's a free open borders. Now, I started out looking at this that I felt really not pleased. I actually felt appalled that seeing, now you see immigrants coming from Syria, from that mess. You see immigrants coming out of, you know, the South America, the messes that their people are in. They're trying to escape. They want a better life, granted. And here they are being turned back or arrested, or people want to put up border walls and people want to keep them out, keep us in. But you have this issue in the EU where thousands and thousands of immigrants were coming in like waves, and the whole system, this government was saying, well, we'll bring in 11,000 people, well, we'll bring in 1,500 people, we'll allow, okay, this we were dealing with last year when this whole thing started. Now, I've come to realize that this is really, in a way, it's a setup. And again, this goes back to really doing deep information about what is happening there with these outlying countries like Syria, for instance, and the immigration issue and the deep state. You have to realize that there is a deep state, there's a cabal and elite involved in manipulating our countries. It's the one world order. It goes directly to the one world order. Okay, if you have open borders, free for all, okay, there's no vetting. There's no, you know, nothing that says, wait a second, you have a criminal record over there, and this catch and release has been proven that some of these people who came in, got caught, went through a particular, you know, whatever, were released because they had to wait for a trial. Okay. While they're released, there has been rapes and murders and various other things going on with these certain people. Then you have the MS-13 group who are being running through the borders. Then you have the trafficking, child trafficking. Nobody wants to talk about the child trafficking.
Well, can I
but
add
that's
two
what
things to that before you get too far?
Yeah.
There's two things. One, when we talked about, doggone it, my brain just shut off.
Child trafficking.
Yeah.
Oh, catch and release.
Oh, when we talk
EU.
About truth being stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
They have to add, they have to give a bit of the truth in order to make the lie sound plausible.
That's exactly right.
And when you want to talk about order out of chaos, the best way to create chaos in all these nations that weren't otherwise chaotic would be to go over to like places like Syria and bomb the crud out of them, create a massive havoc where these people want to get out of there and they need a place to go. And so
that's right.
Now they're going to be directed straight to you. And in the
that's
process,
right.
while all these less than honest characters are making their way across the border involved in child trafficking and drugs and murder,
well, there was,
and
yeah, there was one thing about these photographs. Now, we were being shown photographs of children, family in boats, children dying on, washing up on beaches. And now, that's all real. But what we weren't shown was the droves of men, young men, droves of young men coming through the borders. And these, who are these people? I'm just saying, who are...
Age.
Who are all the people? Now you have the EU, there's mass chaos over there because these men are raping women in the streets, they're beating people up. Just do the research of what's going on over there in Europe, but this is what they want here in this country. This is what they want with this catch and release and with the open border. Don't put a border wall up, but guess what? My ancestors came from Europe, your ancestors came from Europe, Two Dog's ancestors came from Europe, Kevin, Stephen, whoever is out there, if you're in the United States, your relatives came from somewhere else, and we all had to go through proper channels now, didn't we?
Yeah.
We all had to stand in line, we all had to wait to be, you know, whatever it was that you did. Everyone here on this Turtle Island had to go through proper channels. Now, you have the slaves. Were they brought through proper channels? No. They were not. They were just brought here to this country, and they were enslaved, and their families were separated. We know that. Then you have the Indian population, that their families were separated. The governments went there and took the children from the people to enslave them for the government. Now, the deep state has been doing this from the beginning of this country, okay? It's not just Obama. It's not just Trump. It's not just Bush. This goes back so far, and they've all been participating in this now. Okay, so Trump has eliminated the catch and release, you know, law that Obama put in, that basically you catch somebody coming in here illegally, and then you release them on their own while they're waiting for trial. Do you ever see them again? No.
Yeah.
Do they commit some crimes? Some of them do. So this is a serious problem. Now we have this appearance, finally, about the borders, the southern borders there with child trafficking. We just recently had these veterans who go out and to try to find and help homeless veterans who are out there on the land depressed and whatever and committing suicide, and these other vets are going out there and they are helping these vets, and they came across this camp down there in Tucson. It was a child trafficking camp. There's children stuff all over the place. There's hair dye. There's what they call various you know, like restraints on trees that are child, you know, height. They found a child's skull. They found, but nobody knows about this, but this is coming across our borders, and it connects to the Hillary Clinton Foundation. I mean, this is like a terrible movie that I'm talking about. The whole thing is like a terrible movie.
Let me throw something else into the mix while we're talking about child trafficking. If you ever go to Walmart or one of the major stores and you happen to be around, you know, the area where like customer service or whatever, sometimes they have these big billboards, sometimes
yes.
in between the bathrooms. But you'll see all these children, younger, you know, 18 and younger, that have came up missing, and we've been seeing these for years. And
well, yeah. I mean, look what happens on the Indian reservations. There are so many young women and girls that are being kidnapped and sold into child trafficking. Do you people know about this? No. The mainstream media won't cover this.
Yeah.
It's only alternative news and channels that basically are covering this, and what they're uncovering is pretty stunning, and basically people just go to mainstream media
and
shout out.
I think the scariest aspect of all these children coming up missing is how desensitized that society has actually came to be. Like, when you walk past there and you look at this billboard, you just go on about your business. I sit in there and I kind of look at all the faces in hopes that maybe I might recognize somebody or, you know, whatever. But for the most part, people just walk right on by it because they're so accustomed to this being like a daily norm. People come up missing all the time. Oh, they ran away or whatever, you know. Or there's no way I
no
can find
No big deal.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, people are numbed to it.
That's what
I'm saying. Well, the whole thing that people may not realize is the Clinton Foundation, Haiti, child trafficking, money, at the border, one of the Clinton Foundation's persons who was working had about 30-some children, illegal children that they were taking somewhere, nobody knows, but child trafficking. These children found out that these children were basically had been abducted. They were missing children. But nobody knows this. They want to just listen to mainstream media and screaming about Trump's border wall and separating children. Now, the whole separating children thing here, again, I'm sitting on the fence. I'm kind of looking at this because I'm saying, okay, what is going on here? This is Sessions' policy. Okay, now we know, yes, Trump brought in Sessions. So, but this is Sessions' policy. I'm looking at this on a deeper level because, in fact, I want to know the truth. I'm not going to state right now that this is real or that this is fake. I'm just addressing the other information against what people are getting from mainstream media. That's all that I'm doing. Okay, that's what I do. I want to find the truth, and I'm not going to make a conclusion. I'm not going to conclude right now what is really going on that we are being shown by mainstream media because, frankly, mainstream media is owned by the elite cabal, and they are, you know, basically part of the lie factor. We have to know that, and if you don't know that, then I don't know what to say.
And that's why
that's
why I threw all that other stuff in there as well with that video, is because this isn't something new.
It goes across the board, right? On everything. We know, like you said, everything that we have been told in our history is really a lie. So, yeah, the tree. Now, that video is pretty extraordinary because we talked, you, me, and Patty talked a while back about the Devil's Tower. Looks like a tree stump, a giant tree. Could that be possible? Wow, I mean, it's like pretty hard to imagine. But I got into it, and that's why I sent you that new video.
The moment you admit to yourself that could have possibly been a tree, and then you contemplate on the actual height that tree would have been, that changes things. Because now you've got to figure out, okay, if that tree was really that big...
Who cut it down?
Yeah. That's the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Now, here I'm finding out that there are supposedly tree stumps like that all over the world, and people are, in this documentary, they're looking at them. But there are ancient cultures who still are present today, and their stories talk about these particular structures, and if you look at them in this documentary, man, they look like tree stumps. But the people say these were ancient trees. Okay, and then you go to the Bible. The Bible talks about the giant tree, the tree of life, and so on, the cedar tree. This documentary goes really in-depth in this. It's really fascinating. And then this guy just... I found this video, the Google Earth. The guy was looking on Google Earth, right?
Yeah.
And from Google Earth, he's looking at this. He didn't say where it was. He said, if people are interested in this, I'll disclose where it is. But then I got the other video, and it showed various other places throughout the world where these, where there are now still remaining giant trees. Well, look at the sequoias.
Yeah.
These are smaller than some of the trees in other parts of the world that exist today. You know?
Well,
I've been to a tree in Mexico near Oaxaca, outside of Oaxaca, that is one of the largest trees in the world. You can't imagine what this tree looks like. You know, so I'm just looking at this stuff, but he got onto Google Earth, this guy, and he found these land structures. They look like erosions, stones that were eroded or run, you know, water runs through. However, you know, it looks like if you're not thinking, let me look and see if this is a giant leaf.
Well,
okay.
Speaking of erosion, it doesn't just stop at the trees. If you actually look into, there's a documentary out there talking about like the Grand Canyon and different canyons,
yes,
like
and
that.
Yes, and the Sphinx.
They look more like strip mines than they do canyons. Once somebody explains this, if you put a strip mine next to the Grand Canyon or some of these other places out there, it looks like somebody was actually mining there at one time, but the scale of the mining would have had to have been massive in order.
Well, and so that leads us to the giant, the lie about the giants.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
Everything, it leads to the next lie, to the next lie, to the next lie.
That's why I say the rabbit hole, it'll give you a headache.
I've been there. But anyway, I just want to point out, I just do want to say this thing at the border and the children and the families is very serious. Okay, but I am on the fence with what is really happening there. I think we have to be on the fence until we eliminate and go through all types of research. And if you're not looking at the, you know, the, let's say the alternative researchers, but you're looking at the mainstream, you know, rhetoric, then you're not going to find the truth. I mean, I think we've come to that realization over these years that the mainstream media is owned by, you know, cabal elite, Soros, Rothschilds, and so on, and that we are being manipulated big time about, you know, facts.
Well, proof of what you just said right there is the fact that if you take a look, there's a whole lot of alternative medias that are being seriously censored and shut down. They're having their YouTube channels shut down, their Facebooks and their Twitter accounts closed because they have an opposing view to the mainstream, what narrative. And people are going in there using tools like, they're using hate speech. Well, they're being discriminating or whatever. They use everything, which actually here in the United States, the First Amendment allows you to say whatever it is pretty much that you want to say.
I think somebody's confused here because my ancestors went through legal channels, okay? And my ancestors came from Ireland and various parts of Europe and went through legal channels to get here, okay? Proper channels, okay? Yes, they had to do that. They didn't swim or come in a rubber boat like they are today. They didn't swim across the ocean, came in a rubber. They all got on these ships with their trunks and their kids and whatever. That's proper channels. They came through in New York City, on that island. I can't remember the name of the island now. Where everybody came through proper channels. So I don't know what is being spoken about here, but Two Dog's ancestors are my ancestors, too, right, Two Dog? We're related.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's Indian blood here on both sides of us, you know.
That's right. But my ancestors, my Irish ancestors, English ancestors, came here legally. They went through the proper channels. I don't know what's going on with this conversation, but just to give you a heads up, many of the first peoples from Europe came here through proper channels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how do you explain me?
I'm not talking about the pilgrims.
My heritage is French Canadian / Cherokee and who knows what else, so... You know, I was probably a product of somebody coming in to people that were already indigenous and whatever. I'm confused.
Well, what do you say? Why would somebody? I'm stating a fact about Obama's catch and release. Now, I'm just stating a fact. That's real. Just do the research.
Yeah, he really did have that.
Now, there's other things about this circumstance. Of why do you want open borders to allow people of all ilk to come through without being vetted or without being legal?
Well,
why?
In a perfect world, we wouldn't want borders. But the problem is the world ain't perfect yet. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I was saying this is awful. I said these people are trying to get away from violence and murder in their own country, and how can we as American people say you're not allowed to come here? That's where I began.
Yeah.
Because we're not that type of people. We open our arms and help people who are suffering. That's what we're all about. But then I started to do research and look at other things and say, okay, wait a second. Oh, hold on here. I started to look at the EU, American Union, the European Union problem, the process of immigration there, what was going on. I started to look at the MS-13 here on our borders, the child trafficking. I started looking at the catch and release that Obama set up. So yes, I'm saying that Obama did that. Okay. And yes, what's going on here that, you know, that is being set up with the immigration thing and the law. Now, both parties, Democrats and Republicans, must participate in this law, right, to do proper vetting of people who want to come into our country. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I wanted to go live in Mexico. Guess what? I'd need a passport. I'd, you know, basically be in trouble if I just set up my whatever, got a job. Of any country you want to go into, you must go through proper channels. Now, there are people that don't, and there are people that aren't doing that here in for the United States. Why shouldn't they? Why should we allow all kinds of people, good people, but also people who are not good? We must find out who are the good people, do the proper vetting, bring them in, and this is the system that Trump wants, and
yeah,
this is the system of how it should have been.
There was a story a long time ago, biblical story, called the Trojan Horse, where they pretty much sent a president out there, and they had the bad guys hiding inside of it. So if you look at this immigration thing, it is a Trojan horse. You got the men that are of young men that are of fighting age, not a whole lot of, you know, women and children coming along, you know, like families. I could understand you see a family come to try to get to safety and you help them out, that kind of deal. But then you got these men that come in a fighting age and they bring their ideology with them that tells them it's okay to rape and mistreat other people. And then you got a clash with your culture, your society. I mean, some of the things that are happening over in the European Union and stuff like that, if it was happening right here in the United States, you'd have a flat-out rebellion against the government if they allowed that to go on. But
exactly.
It's now,
well, that's the plan, you see.
Yeah.
That is the plan. And the plan is unfolding, and we better really pay more attention to what is going on. And yes, my internal moral compass, like everyone's internal moral compass, who, you know, were good people. Like I said, at first I was appalled at what was going on because I saw these people. I saw women and children. I saw children on the beaches dead. I saw people drowning. That was horrific. But what we weren't allowed to see was who was really coming across the border en masse into Europe that are now raping and doing all kinds of stuff that they don't even have enough police to take care of these issues. Do the research. Now, I'm a moral person. I'm a kind person. I'm a loving person. And, you know, you have these stories where people opened their homes and opened their arms to some of these immigrants, and they got robbed or they got whatever. You know, these things happen. You know, you could help some person that is, you know, was born in this country. They could do the same thing to you. I'm not saying that this does not happen. But my internal moral compass, okay, basically, you know, says we need to help these people, but we need to make sure that the people that we are helping are not murderers, rapists, and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is only any country would do that. But we are being pushed upon by the Islamization of the United States, MS-13, which is part of the deep state cabal, setting these people in here. And, you know, if you want to know about MS-13, that will really scare the crap out of you about who these people are.
Oh yeah, they do some terrible stuff, and they don't hide it either. It's really kind of I don't know, it's just mind blowing. That's the word again. It's mind blowing.
All right, you have Ellis Island. We all know what Ellis Island is, right? You know what Ellis Island is? Anybody out there?
Refresh my memory.
Ellis Island was an island off of Manhattan where all immigrants who wanted to come into this country, my ancestors, your ancestors, if they were coming from Europe and wherever, had to go through Ellis Island. That was the vetting place. That was where you stood in line and waited to, your papers were looked at, to see if you had a sponsor, to see if you had already family here in the United States that would sponsor you. This is what happened. Ellis Island. You did not get through into this country without going through the vetting process to find out if you had a sponsor. So that was a legal channel. There was all kinds of things that people had to have, documents, papers. They had to have a sponsor here on this land. Do you know that? It's still that way today, by the way. I have friends who want to come from Mexico to visit me. They need to have a proper letter, go through proper channels from me. I have to get a lawyer. My lawyer has to set up a letter that says that I will sponsor this person, that they will be here, that I will, whatever it is, they have to take that to their embassy or whomever, the government there in Mexico. You can just not come here freely. You must go through proper channels.
Yeah, I had a friend from Australia come in, and he had to have a sponsorship letter as well saying that he'd be staying with us and that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of things going on, you know, but don't tell me that I'm wrong. I'm speaking to someone don't tell me I'm wrong. Am I telling you you're wrong? No. I'm talking about research and information. I'm sharing with you information. Don't tell me I'm wrong. That's not the way we find the truth. That's not the way we have a conversation. You know, I'm just saying, let's do this research together. Don't spew out stuff from fake news. Don't spew out things and tell me I'm wrong. I'm just sharing information. Let's do the research together. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just giving my perspective, another perspective, and what I know. It's not right. How do we have a conversation and come to the truth when you so easily tell me to shut up, I'm wrong?
Yeah, and
that's not right.
The guys like George Soros, they know that you can't mix, Islamic with this particular culture and have it go over well, because in their culture, they say it's all right to treat people in a certain fashion. And over here, we're all supposed to respect each other's beliefs and not use, because they call it a hate crime. If you go do something because somebody's a Christian or because of the color of their skin, they call it a hate crime. But nonetheless, they know that you can't mix these two cultures without having them clash. All right, so the people that are actually pulling strings with this immigration deal, they want to flood Europe with different. They want to flood the United States. They want to put as much chaos in all these countries so that we're going to get mad. And once we get mad and start rebelling against all this and all heck breaks loose, there's their justification for National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act and all the other laws put into place by the prior presidents and probably even present. It's hard to tell, but...
here's what I understand, okay? Here's what I understand, that before there was any such thing as vetting, immigration, whatever, there was an invasion here on Turtle Island. I've spoken about that for years. okay, people came here, and I did say before, I'm not talking about the pilgrims. I'm not talking about those that came over here, just freely coming over here, right? But when the government here was set up, that's when the immigration started to take place and proper channels started to, appear. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I understand. Yeah, there were people who came here. We should have had a border wall. My people here who were born here on this Turtle Island, my Indian people, my family, my ancestors should have had a border wall. I wouldn't be here, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's understandable. You just don't just walk right into somebody else's. Everybody's protecting.
Well, guess what we did? Guess what our Indian relatives did? We welcomed the immigrants.
And look at how it turned out.
And look at what happened.
Yeah.
Open the border, let them all in. We welcomed everybody, and guess what happened? Genocide happened to the Indian people who welcomed the immigrants. Rape, violations beyond your imagining, a near decimation and complete genocide of the people here, the Indian people who welcomed onto their land. Okay, there was no vetting. There was no, anybody standing there say, wait a second, we got to find out who you really are. You see, this is what I'm talking about. This is reality. Should the Indian people have had a border wall? Should they have shot these people or separated the children and the families and whoever coming here to find out, wait a second, we want to know what kind of people are you before we open our borders to you? No, that didn't happen. They welcomed everybody with open hearts. They fed the people. They basically helped them get through the winter. They saved those immigrants.
Yep.
Didn't they?
Yeah. And
there's our history.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And these folks up there, they're basically playing chess with the world, and they know how to use people as pawns and rooks and knights and whatever, and they manipulate people's hearts and minds. You tell somebody, a good person, that there's children being, taken away from their families, and, automatically, because they're good people, they feel bad about it. But when you get down to the actual truth of what's actually occurring, it's not nowhere near what they're being played out, because, as bad as people might think America is, there are a lot of people in America that don't tolerate any abuse of children whatsoever, and they take every precaution in order to protect their safety and their rights and stuff, even if they're not from this country, even if they came in illegally, they still want to feed them and clothe them, make sure they got medical attention and stuff like that. It's this way that the mainstream media puts this narrative out there to manipulate the minds of people to pit you against one another. Oh, well, you're just a racist because you don't want Mexicans to come here. Well, no, I'm not a racist because I have relatives that are Mexican, and they're my family, they're my blood, and I love every one of them.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So we say, oh, Metakwiye Oyas, and we are all related, and I say that too, and I believe that. We are all related. Those people coming over here trying to escape tyranny and trying to escape violence and want a better life for their children, they are our relatives, okay?
Yeah.
Even the guys who come over who are not nice people, who commit murder, rape, and so on, guess what? They are our relatives too, but they are not nice people. That doesn't mean I have to bring them into my home or let them through, into this country to do what they darn well please.
Yep.
Okay, and then catch them. Oh, yeah, guess what? You're here illegally, and plus you have a record over there in Guatemala or Mexico or Europe. You have a record. You did this, this, and this. Now you're going to have to go to trial, but we're going to release you in the meanwhile, because guess what? We have no room for you in jail because our jails are full. I mean, I'm quoting from the system here. I'm not making this up.
But the ironic thing to that is that any citizen of the United States, or even Europe for that matter, who would have done a fraction of what was accused on the person that was illegal, they wouldn't have got out of jail. They would have made room for them. You see what
I'm
saying?
That's exactly. Well, this is the whole point I'm trying to get here. If you're stuck on just on one page and you don't read the foreword, the prologue, and page 92 or 100 or page 1, you only have a portion of the information. And this is basically what we're being fed. There's a lot of information that people aren't being privy to, but you can find it.
Yep.
You can. And this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm talking about. Just don't spew out something from page 20 if you haven't read the beginning of the whatever documents or done the research to find out the whole bit of information. You know, so I am for helping people. I am for, we need to help these people, but I am not for open borders where these MS-13 and all kinds of people and radical Islam people can come in, because that's part of the plan. If you don't get that that's part of the plan, it's not my problem. I can't, you know, force people. I'm just sharing this information. So I am not for, I am not for separation of families from children. Is that real? All I know is what the mainstream media is saying.
Well, here's something that the mainstream media said.
I don't know.
Here's something that the mainstream media said that kind of got overlooked through the history, and I actually did a kind of a video about it, but there was a guy on the news, a Muslim guy, and he said that at some point the flag of Islam will be flying over the White House.
Well,
he just basically said that was their ultimate agenda, was basically to conquer the world.
That's, you can find that information in a book called The Islamization of the United States. Now, this is a plan that the mainstream media will not talk about. Now, this is the radical Islamization, okay? This is not the people, the good people who are Muslims. There's a difference. Okay, this is not about the mothers and fathers who are running through, you know, deserts and all the horrible stuff they have to do. But why don't they do it properly? I don't know. Why don't they do this legally to come through? Because that is available.
Yeah.
Why? And then you have these good people with families, you know, coming here illegally. Any government will, okay, does not want that. We shouldn't want that. You come here illegally, and I don't get that. Why should that be allowed to happen?
Well, once you actually get in that general vicinity of the border crossing, you would actually be under the protection of both the both sides of the fence, because in that general area, you got all the military and border patrol and all that kind of stuff, so you're less likely to get mugged there than you would be trying to cross over some place.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have those poor people being what they call the coyotes, I guess they call them.
They're taking
money, thousands of dollars from these people, putting them in a truck, packing them in a truck, or leaving them out in the desert, or I mean, it's a terrible thing what's going on, you know.
And
it should not be happening.
If you can't afford to bring your kids, some of them get suckered into saying, well, here's the money, take my kid to America, and the kid may not make it there. That's the sad thing about it, because
they really
sell that
awful
child into slavery somewhere, because these coyotes that they call them, they don't care about you or your children, they care about that money.
Well, a lot of them are raping the young girls, these coyotes, and this has been documented by the people who have made it here and talk about what happened to them. This has been documented, but if they did it legally, if they came through legally, that would not happen. You know, I mean, it shouldn't, but let's say that it wouldn't happen. You know, I mean, there are unkind and nasty people in all circumstances here, I guess, is now today. It's hard to say that wouldn't happen, but, you know, because the child trafficking thing is really moving through the open borders. This is what we really have to pay attention to. It's not just the families who are struggling. It's not the, you know, we're talking something really, really terrible here.
Yep.
So the borders, the open borders are allowing child trafficking, and it's been going on for a long time.
Yep.
You know,
and if you make it harder for these people to get people across that border, you know, then that's gonna lessen it. If they can't make money at it, they're not gonna want to do it. You see what I mean? like the drug tunnels that they keep finding all the time. These people, when they can't go across the border, you know, over the top, they'll tunnel underneath and traffic drugs and kids and everything, guns in back and forth. So it's happening on both sides of the fence. You get your crew onto the American side, and they have connections within all the different states. They know where all the drug dealers are, who's going to buy what and sell. And so if you can't stop them at the path they're coming in, and they're tunneling underneath the fence and so on and so forth, they still have the direct line to make the money. You see what I'm saying?
I do. So, Two Dog, well, now that we're done with our rant, I don't know, I'm just curious as to, but the lies, there's gonna be this, we have to get smarter, I guess, or more alert, and not just accept a right out blatant statement, and we have to look at it. Okay, is this real? Is this factual? Well, it looks real, it sounds factual, but is it really? You know?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are basically two sides of the same coin, and they're only just volleying for who's going to have the power, who gets to hold the purse, so to speak. And so, they don't really care about, social justice or anything like that. What they care about is getting reelected so they can keep the lifestyle that they got. And this isn't just here in America, it's in other nations as well. The power structure. You don't see the average Joe getting elected to Senate and Congress and stuff like that. You don't see third parties getting elected to the presidency or anything like that. People that believe in constitutional...
Oh, no. When you get elected by them, it's not a free election. We don't have real elections. It's all fake.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come to realize that, instinctively, and then doing the research on this stuff, you come to realize, wait a second, it's all along, this has been all a setup. And when you, it's sort of, even Kennedy talked about this, and that's basically, Kennedy was going to really disclose the whole we used to call it hidden government. I knew there was a hidden government.
Well,
and
he
talking
also
about,
talked about the vast media that was basically spewing the propaganda for both sides.
We talked about the fake news, fake media, and now it's really obvious because you find out, well, who runs these media? Who is it? Then you look at that Mockingbird. Check out Mockingbird, right? You know what the Mockingbird is? The Mockingbird is basically that all the mainstream medias, they all talk about, they're all given, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I think, that this, the, some of the owners of these news, mainstream media, CBC, NN, CBS, Washington Post, all that, they're all given at 4 o'clock, the rundown of what the day's news will be.
Yep.
And you go look at this video, and it's pretty shocking.
They're all saying, if you switch from channel to channel, they're all saying basically the same exact thing, maybe in a slight difference, depending on who's saying it, but nonetheless, it's the same story no matter which channel you get on. And then even when you get on Fox News, which is supposed to be more conservative, they will still kind of skirt the fence, where at one hand they're telling you what you want to hear, but then on the other hand kind of supporting the other side as agenda.
That's
you
right.
See what I'm saying?
That's so right.
That's where the alternative media had to come in. And when once Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all these different social media platforms actually started gaining ground and getting power, well, that scared them because they were losing their ratings, they were losing advertisers, and they were there was information being shared that they wanted to not be shared. And so they started censoring all these different networks and shutting people down, saying, calling it hate speech. And then they actually were able to get the average Joe to go out there and report these people. Oh, look, he's a racist, you know, and this is racist content. This is hateful content, you know, and flagging these videos and getting them shut down and demonetized and everything. So, the counter, of the, mainstream media towards the alternative media basically was to get everybody out there saying you're being hateful, and that way we can shut your voice down, and things like net neutrality, and we want to make it all fair, is what they said.
Well, it's about politically correct or politically incorrect, whatever you want to say. It's all about really manipulation. It's about, well, we're the conspiracy nutcases here. If you're on this alternative radio station, if you are even listening and participating, you're a conspiracy nut.
Yeah.
Don't take us seriously.
Well,
guess what?
Here's something else. Every single website out there, there's a deal called, I think it's a SSL certificate. Basically, it's a secured website. It's basically been deemed that it don't have malware or viruses and stuff like that. But here's the thing. If you're Google, which is basically the power of the Internet right now, because they got the money, they got the tools and the technology and stuff, but you get to decide who is a safe website and who isn't a safe website. And so if you've got control of the major search engine out there, if you don't like what Shazia's Radio says, you can just put it on somebody's browser that, oh, well, this site ain't secure. It's got malware. You don't want to go there. Don't.
Well, Facebook now has a new policy. They're posting the Facebook that they're going to, their new policy basically is they're determining, you know, what is acceptable.
Yeah.
And so I put up a, I posted on Facebook, what is called the Great Awakening. Okay, the Great Awakening at Reddit.com. Do you know they would not allow that to go out?
Oh, I believe it.
They said that this appears to be spam. Great Awakening? Great Awakening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only that, they have artificial intelligence that basically when you upload a video to YouTube, it scans for any words, any bad words or any keywords, and if it finds one single word in there, it will deem it to not be advertiser friendly and not even put it out there to the public. It basically sets it to private until you decide you want to go and protest to YouTube about it, and they actually have a physical person go look at it to see whether or not it's good or not. And then if they don't agree with your agenda, they just say, nope.
Well, that's what Zuckerberg was, you know, sitting there in Congress and the Senate and being investigated and questioned, because that's what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, they're basically determining who has a say, who's, they're picking, they're choosing, that if you are, you know, a conservative, I guess they're going in this route, if you are a conservative, you putting out something that is reeks of conservatism or whatever, I don't know, that you're not allowed to, they'll take you right down.
Yeah, they will. And if you don't agree with, you know, inclusive ideology such as, you know, what the gay agenda or whatever, you know, and I'm not against the people's own, that's what you do in your own life, that's your own personal deal. You're responsible for yourself. But if you're
as an adult person, I have the right to determine what I don't want to read, what I don't want to look at, what I don't want to believe, what I do want to believe, what I want to do research on. That's our right, our sovereign right.
During the Obama administration, and you can look this up, you'll find it out there, but during the Obama administration, now keep in mind the government's supposed to be neutral. It's not supposed to choose sides amongst political or religious beliefs or anything like that, or even social beliefs, as they're supposedly neutral and there for the public to do what the public wants. But against all the other people out there, they put the gay pride flag right on the side. They projected it right up on the side of the White House in front of everybody. You know?
Uh-huh.
And so if you're a Christian or a person that don't believe in certain deals like that, then, you know, that could be deemed offensive. But on the other hand, if you was to project, say, the rebel flag up on the side of the White House, do you realize how big of an outrage would come about out of that?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But this is what they get by with, by trying to manipulate people into saying, well, this is okay, you know. I stand for this, or I stand for that, you know. And constantly there are battles between just the average Joes holding their signs up, protesting for both sides of the fence. And if you step back and look at all of the relevant evidence, you might have a different opinion if you knew the whole truth.
The thing is about this rise of the I guess you'd call it LGBT stuff. You know, there's a sudden rise, and Obama was really part of this, as you say. The question is, if you really, again, it's all about research, you know, and I'm a person who, I don't care what people do behind closed doors. I don't. If you love someone, that's your privilege. Everyone should have the right to love anyone. I'm not a prejudiced person along that way, but one thing I do feel is that you shouldn't push your beliefs, whatever, upon me and my children and my grandchildren. But I see this happening. I see this rise of this sexual, let's say the training of our children, young children in school who are now, the gender confusion thing, or allowing your child, or even telling your child this happened, this people determined to dress their boy in girls' clothes, and then in boys' clothes and girls' clothes, because they didn't want their child to be confused when he grew up or got older. They wanted him to feel comfortable with both genders. Okay, now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I talk about confusion. But anyway, you have this sexual, this sexual orientation going on in schools because of this. That is really scary, teaching children about same-sex experience in grade school. I mean, this is happening in a lot of places. And like I said, I don't care what people do behind closed doors. Just don't push your preferences upon me and try to get laws along those lines. So you could talk about with the cake, the baking of the cake, the wedding cake for two gay men. That was just in the news recently, and they took that baker to court, all right, to get the right, basically to either trash this guy or take down his business, because they are saying, according to their religious rights, okay, and the law now, because it's same-sex marriage Obama put through as it's okay, and that's fine, but if you want a cake baked by some person, some baker down the road, and they say, that really is against my beliefs and my religion, and I won't bake your cake. Just find somebody who will bake the cake.
Yeah.
Bake the cake yourself. Why take this person to court? And by the way, they did lose. They lost. And, of course, Trump was noted that that was this person's right. That was this baker's right. Well, of course, he's politically incorrect today because you're prejudiced.
Yeah.
You're a prejudiced person against these people who love each other, who want to have a family, who want to get married, that Obama put the law out that said that's fine. Again, let's think clearly here. Go bake your own cake. Find a baker who aligns with your beliefs. Don't take somebody to court and try to ruin them and ruin their business. Is that a way that we want to reach out to people? We want them to see clearly that everyone has the right to love whomever they want to love. I'm not a judge. That's up to Creator. But I'm just saying, but this is going on here, and to me, that's alarming.
Yeah, and I think that this labeling system that's going on these days, where Now you have multiple different genders and different labels for if you disagree with something, and these are thrown out there, and people are quite literally using these labels to not just further their agenda, but to basically use the government against the people that disagree with them.
Yeah.
That's not a way to get somebody to come over to your side by sicking the
government. Well, no, it's not a way. That's what I'm talking about. How can we reach out to each other? You know, everybody's going to... Look, we all have a right to have a different belief. That's our right. But to push what you believe on another person, that's wrong, don't you think?
By force.
By force, by trying to take them... I'm just saying, and the children are innocent. These children, you know, but because of the political correctness of transgender, LGBT, and same-sex stuff going on, this is now being infiltrated into the schools. These children are innocent. They, you know... I'm just saying, it's just like, to me, it's very confusing for the children. It's getting pretty mixed up, and people are getting confused, and it's another battle now that we have to fight. People are fighting in court, people are screaming at each other, people are pummeling each other, people are, you know.
Yeah, and if you profess to be a believer in freedom, and you want to have free speech and all these different rights, but yet you want to call your cops on your neighbors every time they turn around for some, you know, the grass might be too tall or whatever, and then your neighbor's calling them on you, and you both are sitting there basically using the government as a tool to fight each other, and in the same sense, you're depleting your freedom, because eventually when it gets out of hand, they go and basically make a law that says, now you can't have your grass this tall. If your grass is any taller than this, you could be fined and stuff. The government don't care how many laws are on the books, because every law that's on the book gives them more money, gives them more power. It weakens you as a citizen.
You have to talk about what government we're describing. See, when people say the government is doing this, the government did that, the government... You have to know it's the deep state.
Yeah.
It's the deep state that's doing this. It's not the government. It's the deep state government. It's the cabal, the elite. And people keep forgetting that that's part of our system here, and it's been in place, and it's not just our system, it's pretty much in the world, that you have deep state manipulators... factions going on all over the world, and you do have good people in the government, and some of them have really been threatened and are being basically, like, there's 24 FBI agents right now who are ready and willing to testify against the past administrations and the deep state, and what there's 24 FBI agents that are willing to do that. So you have these people in the FBI that are good people, the CIA, and so on, and then you have others who are corrupt and who got corrupt or threatened or whatever, and now they're corrupt. This is what's going on, and you have people terrified to speak out against...
It brings up the other point about some of same said agencies, FBI, CIA, are involved in the crimes of drug trafficking,
NSA, CIA, FBI, all the
illegal spying and all that, and the good people that are in there that you just mentioned, they're trying to stop it, and they can't stop it because the system has gotten so powerful they're afraid to try to stop it because they've seen what happened to Kennedy and everybody else.
That's exactly right, and they're threatened, you know, and that's factual. We're not making that up. I mean, just look at how many people have suicided themselves that have been involved with the Clintons.
Yep.
I was reading the list. I don't know who I read the list to. Oh, Patty. Patty and I were talking, and I said, look at what I found. I said, this is a list of people who have been suicided, who have been involved. She's had bodyguards throughout the years. They've had bodyguards throughout the years. I think there are about 10 of them that are dead. I'm just saying. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And other people that, you know, so on and so forth. So that's...
So let's, What's the solution going to be for the average Joe out there? The best solution that I can come up with in my head for the average Joe out there is, first off, before you start using your own government to basically punish somebody else for something that you disagree with or whatever, maybe you want to try to negotiate with that person first. Maybe you want to try to see who is behind the spring, who's behind the scenes doing the Jerry Springer effect, you know. Oh, look, he said this about you, and then why he's over there getting mad about that. He's over in the other guy's area. Oh, well, you know what he said about you, and next thing you know, you got this fight going on. But when that fight plays out, well, then in comes the so-called peacemakers, the law enforcement, stuff like that, and you both get it. You see what I'm saying? So if a lot of these people who want to not have a border crossing, they want not to have a border wall, if they indeed get their wish, and then all these gangs get to come through here, or even the radical portion of Islam shows up out here, and basically infiltrate all of society, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble with the Islamic government for, doing certain things or doing whatever that is against their belief system. You just invited them in. Or if you got gangs running amok all over the street, and because you're trying to be a nice person and you wanted these people to be able to come to America, which America is basically the melting pot of the world. There are people from all different nations here, but they came here, you know, through the front door as opposed to the back door, over the fence or under the fence. You know who's coming through your front door. You get to see them. You know, hey, how are you doing? My name is such and such. Nice to meet you. What's your name? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so, we hope the proper channels, going through the proper channels and doing the vetting and proper channels, the legal way, would be successful. That, you know, that you'd say, yeah, okay, these are good people.
Well,
these are really...
Here's something. If you knock on my front door and say hi, and I'm more than apt to welcome you in. But if I happen to go into my room and you're climbing through my window, that looks suspicious to me.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I might be able to do something, you know, that you might not like. I might have to fight, defend my family, because I don't know what you're up to. So coming through the front door is pretty much a wise idea, even when you're going to another country, you know?
I agree.
Does that
and
make
I do say, I do say that as a people, as a country, as a people, we really need to help these parents and children. We do. We really do.
Yeah.
And we have to be smart and wise and pay attention to the plan that wants to just have the open borders and allow criminals and rapers and child trafficking just to continue.
Because
that's what really is going on. That's sad to say, that's another part of this. And yeah, in the beginning, the invaders came here to Turtle Island, and we should have had a wall. Our relatives should have had a border wall.
When it comes to missing people out there, and I agree with you, I should have. It probably would have changed history. But... When it comes to all these missing people out there, mostly 18 and below, we got to find out where they're going. Every day it could be your child, it could be your cousin, your niece, or your nephew, or whatever. We got to find out where they're going. But I don't think that because the police departments and the federal agencies and all that, they got so many things that they're working on. Not always on the up and up, but either way, there's a busy schedule going on. They don't.
Yeah.
They tell you that if somebody comes up missing, you got to wait 48 hours to see if this person happens to come back.
I know, right?
48 hours
crazy.
Is a lot of time. You can get somebody across the border in that time.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole thing about finding things out is not. It's difficult finding things out, finding the facts that we've been lied to on so many levels, finding out the fact that there are people that we have trusted and believed in that are really not good people. That's a hard one, and it's going to get harder. Will the people be able to accept the truth? Will they be able to accept the reality when the truth does come out? Because the truth when it comes out sometimes is beyond your comprehension. It's stunning. It's so difficult. And this is what I think is going to be coming around the corner. And we're in a very, you know, difficult place right now, not only us here, but in the world, with the deep state and the dirty goings-on and the manipulations and lies and everything has been going on for centuries, and people that we trusted in and people that we believed in, you know, take Jimmy Sales. He just comes into my mind in this moment. This man was a clown over there somewhere in Europe, England, I don't know, where was he? He was a clown, you know, that... Do you know about Jimmy Sales?
No. But
okay.
I want to put something in there real quick before I forget it. I hope my math is right. But if you got 2 million people, you have 8 million eyes and 8 million ears.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so that's how the average Joe can find out what the truth is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just to touch on this, I'm talking about people that we trust.
Yeah.
People that we entrust our children to. People that for years have been violating children, but yet out in public they're clowns, good people. This one, Jimmy Sales, was for years he was in the public's eye as a person who was a clown. That's the role he played, and you know, he dressed up, blah blah blah. He did children's parties. He was involved with even Prince Charles, I think, was his buddy, and people over there, and he was in the political arena, known as this popular entertainer, and the man was a pedophile. And they found this out after he died, unfortunately, but now you have this going up. People you trust. People, look at some priests. Look at those bishops over there in Chile.
Yeah, and even popular movie stars, some of which
and movie stars.
Some of which come out pointing it out. Look, this is going on in Hollywood. You know?
So I'm saying, how do we deal as a people, as a nation, as nations, as people, as human beings who, okay, we trusted someone, we trusted Uncle whomever, and look what they did to the grandchild, or, I mean, this is on a big scale, is what's being uncovered right now about child trafficking and the involvement in people, in our government, in the political situation, and other high-end people that are involved, and how are the people going to deal with this when you find this out? I'm just questioning this because it's coming. It is coming out more and more now. Look at the Hollywood thing.
Oh, once you have total disclosure of all the evils of this world, this world's going to go chaotic of beyond all imagination.
I think it is. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying people need to be on the alert. You know, we always talk about people being awake and aware and all that kind of stuff, but you ain't seen nothing yet. If this
right.
stuff is as deep as what we've been told by both the mainstream and the alternative media, then we're in for one bumpy ride. When people start waking up to the reality that this world isn't what it was portrayed to be, oh my gosh.
You know, it's everyone has a perception about what's right or wrong.
Yep.
Everybody has their own perception what's right or wrong, and they have a right to have that perception. And if you are outright adamant about what you see as right, and I may see it differently, it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. We're just two different people. How do you determine, you know, this issue between people? So it's how do we come together? I guess in our way, in the indigenous way, and it still goes on with the Kogi, you sit in council, right? You sit in council and you come to terms and you come to a point where you can both, I guess what they say, agree to disagree. But the main thing is to be in harmony with each other.
Yeah, and
you know?
Communication. That's the key right now. They don't want us talking to each other. They don't like these radio shows like this. They don't like alternative media because it puts the facts on the table and gives you the opportunity to decide one way or another. See, they want to control the facts. If you want somebody to believe
yeah.
your side of the story, you need to control the narrative. And if somebody else is out there saying, no, what, look, they're lying. They're telling you part of it that's true, but the rest of it's a doggone lie. and they're skewing it to their favor. That's what these people do.
Well, you know, again, it's like my perception of what is right may not be your perception of what is right. And that's happening. That's going to be happening.
Because
I feel strongly about this particular piece. I feel that it's right. I feel that it's correct. You say, well, I feel strongly about this, and I believe that I feel what my perception is right. And so we could go round and round and round and round forever like that. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think we have to, as people, as human beings, if we care for each other, we have to know that we all have different perspectives, but let's not fight.
Yeah.
I'm sharing my perspective with you. I feel that this may be right. I feel strongly about it. You feel your perception may be right. I don't call people names. I don't call people ignorant. I don't tell people to shut up. I don't say, well, I'm right and you're wrong.
That's
no,
right.
I say, this is my perception. This is what I feel.
The best part of that is that because of the massive deception that the people have been under, we understand what's going on. We don't know whether our entire history was twisted and skewed or whatever, but we're sitting here with a couple different spiritual belief backgrounds that basically agree with one another. They might have different terminology, but we're able to, you know, not sit here and argue back and forth, I'm right, you're wrong, and this is the way it is, because, you know, you see what I mean?
But I also have to say, with this whole perception of what's right and what's wrong is a personal perception.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a personal perception. Just because I'm saying I believe this and I feel this is right does not make it so in another person's perception, and their perception is their right to have. So I'm just saying I think the idea here is that we are being pitted against each other. I will not allow anybody to pit me against another person. I will not... Well, let's say I do my best, okay? I'm going to stand up for what I feel is right or my perception. I want to share that. I feel it's right, but I would never tell that person to shut up, that they're wrong. You're just wrong, because that's not a right thing to do. I see, okay, that person has this perception, but let's continue the dialogue. Let's see if we can get further.
Yeah, don't get angry at me because of what I believe. Show me, with your actions and your lifestyle, a better way. It's as simple as that, you know. If you sit there, you don't have to, you know, sit there and get mad at me because I might say I'm a Christian and you don't like Christians because you think that whatever the Bible was written by man or whatever. However that came about, don't get upset at me because I'm sharing my beliefs with you, as long as I'm not trying to force my beliefs on you and I'm not trying to tell you I'm right and you're wrong. Don't get angry at me about because I believe. Show me a better way. Show me how your life and your research, and that's how, you know, honest, respectful communication comes about. You may teach me something. I may have been deceived through my entire life, and I got an open mind that is willing to find the truth. When I find the truth, I'll know it. I'll feel it, just like you will.
Well, there's always confusion in conversation. There's confusion when you're emailing people. There's confusion when, you know, the way we share and talk with each other, right?
Yep.
I don't understand. Wait a second. Okay, can you rephrase that, or can you get clear? I need clarity here, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if we're in opposing, I'm not sure if we have opposing ideas. But it sounds like we do. But I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
And I think we're talking about the fact that nobody wants people to run through the border who are violators, murderers, rapers, child traffickers. Right? I think, wouldn't that be a logical thing to say? We shouldn't have that?
Well, yeah.
Okay. And then the other part of the discussion is that I personally feel that we need to help these people who are really in trouble, the mothers, the fathers, the children, that we need to help these people. We need to shelter them because they are in trouble. Okay. I would say, well, that's logical, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I would say that I think we're both on the same page.
Well, I think when it comes down to immigration, I know the hearts of a lot of Americans, if they see anybody in need, they don't care what color they were or even where they came from. They literally give the shirt off their back to make sure that somebody else didn't get sunburned or whatever, you know. They give the food off their plate to somebody else to make sure that they're fed. So what's going on out here with all this stuff is people trying to manipulate because they didn't get their way on a specific style of agenda. They started throwing labels out at people. You're a racist because you don't want these people coming there. You think they're scumbags. Or like when Trump said something on the news, you know,
he said that. Yeah, exactly. He was really talking about the MS-13 group.
Yeah, but it was pointed like, oh, no, listen to what he said. And they take a little section out of what somebody said. And it isn't just Trump they do it to. They do it to whoever they disagree with. They will take your words, instead of playing it in full context, just take that little section right there. And now you've got a whole bunch of Mexican-Americans who are mad at a man who wasn't saying that every one of them's scumbags or criminals, or whatever.
And that's how they do it. I just want to say one thing, and then I'm going to be quiet here because I just feel like we've been going on, and I see Patty's joined us. I know Two Dogs patiently waiting, but so now there's something else in the mix here. The something else is the hidden agenda.
Yeah.
The something else is the deep state, the cabal, basically, that has set a system up where we are being inundated with MS-13 groups, with child trafficking through the borders, and this is a plan, and this is an agenda. Then we have the Islamization of the, you know, the immigrant situation with the Islamization of America. This is another part of the puzzle here that nobody's looking at, but it becomes about you're a hateful person because you don't want Mexicans to come here, you want borders. You're a hateful person because they're separating, you know, parents from children, and Trump's bad, and the whole system. But there's another part here that people aren't taking into consideration, and that's what I'm talking about, the plan, the agenda, okay, to do something far worse than we could really imagine. So I just wanted to put that out.
They call it Ordo Ab Chao, order out of chaos.
Yeah.
Plan, reaction, solution. And that's how
exactly.
They play every person from every nation like a banjo.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm reaching out with the olive leaf. I carry an olive branch with me wherever I go.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to get some coffee and happy to see this Patty here and Two Dog. Yay.
So, Patty or Two Dog, whoever wants to jump in there, what do you think about all this madness?
If you don't mind, you know, I agree like what John Trudell once said, is that let's agree to disagree and leave it at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the things, you know, if I don't agree with you, that doesn't mean I hate you for it. You know, everybody has their own opinion about what's going on here.
Yeah, we're all just learning this from the way I look at it. We're trying to figure out what the heck is the truth.
I mean, you know, here's the thing about me, okay? I'm not looking at MSN or anything of that matter. I look at what, I listen and listen to what the leader of America is saying, and then I just say what I heard him say.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, wait a minute, that don't sound right.
But what are you hearing? Are you hearing everything he's saying, or just the sound clips that they want to hear?
When the mainstream media said something about, okay, Trump said MS-13, but everything's Mexican, right? I knew exactly what he meant. He meant MS-13. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't mean all Mexicans. He said MS-13. I got that. I understood that.
That is discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the point. It scares me. Now, I'm just saying it scared me for a minute when you have a president of the United States that goes, I love war.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
I'm going, jeez, here we go again.
But this is the thing that Trump has always done. If you go back through his history and you read things, he's an antagonist. When he's setting people up, and he's done it all his career, he trolls them. He gives them something to run with and get his name out there, put his name in the news media so that all you hear now is Trump, Trump, Trump. He doesn't care that the message might be negative. He just cares that he's getting his name out there. He plays the media. He plays the public. He plays everybody. He's a master at that. He's a troller.
That bad press is better than press.
Now, bad press better than no press, all right?
Yeah.
Now, let me say what I've seen in the past, say, 2 months here, okay? Is two individuals getting almost in a fist fight because one thinks Trump is Jesus Christ and the other one thinks he's a bigot.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost come to blows about it, and if I hadn't have said, wait a minute, you know, back up, there's no need for this, because I did get in the middle of it, because I didn't want to see a fight. Okay?
But what if he's both?
Actually, to be honest with you, with a lot of things I've seen him do in the past, and a lot of things I've watched him do and heard him do, Jesus Christ, you ain't.
I'm not saying that he's Jesus Christ, but what I'm saying is you cannot with any legitimacy say that Trump has not done good for this country. I mean, seriously. He has done what no other presidents have done, no other administrations have done, to put this country back on track. You cannot fault him there because the proof is in the pudding. It's there.
On that same
tack, Trump has done some things that have nothing to do with this country or putting it back on track.
Well, and there's another thing that has biblical reference, and I'm not saying, don't take me wrong here, I'm not saying that Trump is the Antichrist, but there was prophecy that said there'd be a person that would come on scene that would, make it look like we had peace, have power to rain fire from the sky, and then whenever everybody thought they had peace, get totally just the opposite. So even though I might think what he's doing right now might be good for the country, I'm also having an ever-vigilant eye and ear out for anything that stinks, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, you know what the thing is that when Trump first came on the scene, I sat back and I said, what the heck is this about, you know?
Yep.
And then I saw him saying all the right words, because we were in trouble here.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation is Obama, the same as every other leader in every other country, was following the New World Order agenda step by step. And he was taking this country down.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. It's all documented. It's there. It's there. We can't deny that. But whenever somebody comes on the scene and says, hey, I can change it all, watch, while I pull this rabbit out of this hat. And then you see this guy pulling this rabbit out of this hat all the time, and you're like, what? Where'd this guy come from? You know? But anyway, getting back to what I wanted to say, we've got here a situation, and the biblical reference to me is he did works of magic enough to fool even the elect.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact phrasing in the Bible, but I know that. And then, on the other side, you have the Hopi prophecy that talks about the great white king. Was it? They called him the great white king that is supposed to come and bring the peace. So here, look at what we've got. We got both sides of the equation again, standing side by side. This is where we've got to use discernment and say, wait a minute, Yeah. Wait a minute.
There's two sides to that prophecy. It is that he would come and either do good or not, or do the opposite.
He's doing both.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm saying, is that maybe we all need to stop worrying about the man and start worrying about the agenda. And how different is it from the other agenda? And where is this agenda going to take us? Will it be different than the other agenda? Is this actually prophecy being played out intentionally?
Well, that's why I keep giving that example of like the four of us sitting here, of us standing outside the cave, and there's a wolf standing there to say, hey, why don't you all come in and have some dinner, you know, and we all get along and all that. And I'm thinking, and you're all thinking the same thing I'm thinking, that maybe, you know, he did say, and it does sound good that we're all going to have some dinner, but what he didn't say was who was on the menu, or what? You see what I mean?
Right.
Exactly.
And when you're still saying things like democracy, and when you're still saying things like nationalism and patriotism, these all sound like good things, and they have good intentions, because I heard you guys talking on the immigrant crisis. Not an immigrant thing. This is media saying this is about immigration. It's not about immigration. It is about illegal immigration.
Yep.
And every country
correct
has laws that govern illegal immigration. The reason why we have these laws is that when people come in illegally, it's usually for reasons that are not justified. These MS-13. That's just one. We have child trafficking that is out of control. Children being kidnapped, raped, murdered, sexually abused, and put in these rooms. This all happens because of illegal immigration.
Yep.
Now, we have, and I'm not calling it Muslim because it has nothing to do with Muslims. It has to do with people who are fanatical and want to cause harm. And you want the proof in the pudding? Look, open your eyes. These are not Muslims. These are people who are out there simply to cause harm to people because they don't believe the way that they should, according to them. So we're not talking about immigration. We're not talking about Muslims. We are talking about allowing people into countries who will come in, take over, and harm the people of the country. So this immigration battle stuff to me is just ludicrous. It has nothing to do with reality. We've always had laws on immigration. There's a reason for it.
Well, and when you said something about patriotism, it reminded me of this flag issue that was going on. You know, if I go to Mexico...
Yes.
And I get over there and I pop up my American flag and say, yeah, I'm proud to be American. Now, I'm probably not going to be received as well. If I did that in any other nation out there, I'm probably not going to be received very well. But, you know, when it comes down to people immigrating from, let's say, Mexico or, you know, down in those areas or whatever, and then popping their flag up over here, and now you got patriots standing around saying, wait a second, this United States is now in Mexico. Well, when you start popping up your flag in another nation, that's not immigration. That's invasion. All right? It's okay to be, you know, proud of your nation. That's fine. But if you're supposedly retreating from an oppressive society, going over to America because this is the land of the free and so on and so forth, then you shouldn't be aggravating the people of America by, you know, shoving your flag of a nation that you supposedly despised enough to leave in front of their face. You see what I'm saying? So it all plays into that order out of chaos thing.
Well, you know, here's my point. One of the points I'm going to make, okay? I flew my flag over my house.
Yep.
Okay. I'm flying my flag right now, all right? And I'm flying it in America, all right? And what I did once, just once, and I'm saying when I live somewhere else, my point is, I get a guy stopping telling me to take it down because I'm disrespecting America.
You know, see, if it's like this. If you were flying it side by side, you know, this is the heritage I came from, and this is the wonderful country or whatever, or terrible country that I came to, and I'm going to give both sides respect or whatever, you know, that's probably understandable. But if you got your Islamic flag flying over the top of the White House and expecting the American patriot to be happy about it, it's probably not going to go over so well. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I understand that. And actually, how do I say this? You know, with all the flags I've got in here, when that happened to, you know, the when that big massacre happened with the LGBT, okay? For some reason or another, I don't know, somebody sent me one. I got it in here with the rest of them. Because I don't know if I'm going to set with them either. Because I might.
Well, see, you're representing all nations because you're representing all the flags.
But that's not a nation.
No, it's not. But I'm saying
it's not a nation.
It's a symbol of a movement.
It's a movement.
Here's the problem. Flags. Here's the problem is that, you know, if we lived in a perfect world, there would be no need for borders.
Yep.
There would be no need for flags. There would be no need for any conflict over people's ideology, people's belief, or anything. But we don't live there.
Yep.
We can't get there from here until we put down the reasons that cause us to hate each other.
There you go.
The reasons that cause us to want to take down. You know, this is where the problem is. The people of this world, the people like you, me, in every country, we don't want any of this. We never did want any of this. We didn't put this into motion purposefully, but we did put it into motion because we listened to our leaders. We listened to the mainstream media tell us who we should be mad at, who we should fear, and why we should. And we thought, well, that's a good reason. That makes sense. So let's hate each other.
The silver-tongued devil said what you wanted to hear just so that you would elect them.
Yeah. So what do we do about this? I mean, do we continue taking this negative and putting it out there and saying, I'm right, you're wrong. They're wrong, I'm right, or whatever. Or do we stop and we say, from this point on, hey, let's start thinking for ourselves. I don't have a problem with people coming to this country. I don't. My ancestors came from all over the world, and including here. And every country on earth is the same. What I have a problem with, and have always had a problem with, is the governments who have instituted this type of tyranny across the globe from the very beginning. It's not the people. It's not the flag. It's not how you believe. It's the promotion of hate across the globe, one to the other, that is the issue. And here we're fighting over the words, immigration. No, it's not immigration. It's illegal immigration. Yeah. Every country has laws on this. Let's be factual about this. And let's look at why we have these laws. Not that we're not letting people in. Look, if someone's going to come in and take my grandchild and rape her, then I've got a problem with that.
Yeah, me too.
If someone's going to come into this country and take my grandchild and teach her about culture and teach her about the things that join us together and make us who we are, then I'm all for that. I don't have a problem. If there's a child that wants to come over here because they don't have the ability to rise in society because they don't have the ability to have the education or the health or anything like that, then I want them here.
Yeah.
I would rather them come here. But I don't want people coming into my backyard who are going to come and harm me or my children or anyone else.
I agree with that. Now, here's the thing about me right now. As you see on here, I got the flag of Wiltshire and the two-row peace flag in the middle in mine. All right? Here's what I'm saying. I do hold the United States flag here. And if I ever sit with the government of the United States, it will go up.
Yeah. See, that's what I was talking about. That's that's respect for each other. You know, if you're going to have an honest dialogue between each other and you start off disrespecting somebody right out of the gate, well, then, you know, it's usually not going to go very well.
I can say this. When we do powwows, that American flag goes in too.
Yeah, but it goes in behind. Then let me rephrase that. The Indian nation's flags, and every Indian nation has one, goes behind the American flag.
Yeah.
I think that's wrong. Because these are sovereign nations. The Indian people are sovereign.
There was years ago, Barb, and it was a Blackfoot, Blackfoot medicine man actually stated this, okay?
Yeah.
He said the powwow is ours.
Yeah.
And he actually stated, isn't it ironic, because this is a Indian, you know, something Indian,
that sovereign nations, right?
A sovereign nation, okay, has to fly that flag before we can have that powwow. And it's ours.
Well, even here in the United States, flag etiquette is that any of our allies that we fly their flags would fly, you know, just slightly below our flag. And in the opposite respect, if we were our flag was flying over there, theirs would be at higher. So there's no reason why yours couldn't, you know, fall under the same etiquette. It should, you know, it's your nation.
Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I would do, okay? I'm going to follow that. I'll follow that. I ain't got a problem with it. The only thing I'm saying is that American flag will go up, mine will go up, and we will have that negotiation or that talk. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If we don't talk and get this stuff out of what's happening here, if there's no dialogue, okay, it's like we had a dialogue with Wiltshire, and it went fantastic. The point I'm saying is that if there's no dialogue between us, between, say, us, me, and the leader, say, of America, then nothing's going to get done here.
Yep. Well, see, I'm looking at a banner ad for People Radio. And I'm really impressed by the way they put the title together. It's actual People for People, and that is quite literally the solution right there. Just what you just explained, Two Dog. That's People for People. We're getting together. We're having an honest debate and dialogue on things, and being respectful of each other's differences, and understanding that the status quo of what we've actually been seeing going on in society and the direction that we're all headed is not beneficial to none of us. You know, war is never beneficial. You know, it might be beneficial to the man's wallet, but, you know, it's the average Joe that didn't want the war to begin with. We're the ones out there saying we want to try to get along with everybody. It's our supposed elected officials that are out there running amok, and it's up to the people to rein them in. The power was supposed to be for the government, for the people, of the people, by the people, and that's where the power was supposed to be originally at, was the people had the power. You see what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Now, let me say it like this, okay? When I went to the mailbox and I open it up and I see four of them in the mailbox, that's a blast.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this to the people of Scotland, all right? I have the flag of Scotland here, and I would be so honored, you would not, I mean humbly honored, to have that flag flying with mine if we ever met with each other.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's the thing of having a dialogue with people, and we got to stop this color thing and put it over here and start talking to the human being.
That's it.
So what you're talking about, Two Dog, is intent. It has nothing to do with a political stance. It has nothing to do with a religious stance. It only has to do with the intent of bringing people together.
Exactly.
And you use the and you use the flag as a testament to your acceptance of these people in this other country. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's totally different from what is going on in the governments and the leaderships of these countries, which is not moving us toward that at all. It's taking us further and further and further away from it. They, what did Shaziz say? Order out of chaos.
Yep.
There is a point that was made, and I totally agree with this, and we were talking about it earlier. Is the particular agenda is about erasing the borders and nationalities. Okay. It's actually helping the New World Order. And I totally agree with that. And that's what we're talking about. It's not about unity. Okay. There's an agenda here that nobody's talking about. Everybody's focused on, you know, like Patty says, it's not about immigration.
Well,
it's about illegal immigration.
She also said, if we lived in a perfect world, that would be wonderful. But we don't. We're not there yet. We haven't.
Sad to say.
Yeah.
But we can.
And we're not going to get there on this tack. The way the governments are moving. That's the thing. Open your eyes. Use the ability that you came to this life with. The ability to go to the heart of the matter. To feel within you what is right and what is wrong. If we're arguing with each other on these aspects of this political spectrum, then we've got to see that somewhere we're not getting the message. Because if we're arguing, we're no closer to the solution than we've ever been.
Yeah.
So we need to turn away from that. We need to say, look, I'm not going to carry this on. If you want to bring peace, like you say you do, then come with me and let's walk together and let's find the solution. Let's not continue this name calling. Let's not continue this bigotry and this racism, because, you know, it's easy to call the leaders of our countries bigots or racist or whatever, but it comes home to roost. If we're the ones sitting there calling someone a bigot, we're no different than them. We are the same. If we're calling someone a racist, then we are a racist because we are entertaining this illogic, right?
Well, when,
so, go ahead.
When I started on this particular show today, I said lies sound plausible when truth is stranger than fiction. This is if you actually sit down and contemplate what I just said right there, we all been lied to in so many different aspects, everything from history to agendas that they want to get through and all that kind of stuff. And so if they have that kind of power over the people to be able to lie to them enough to get them fighting amongst each other, that's a whole lot of power that entity that we call government shouldn't have. Does that make sense?
Now, here's my point. Here's another point. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this, okay? And I'm going, this don't sound right to me at all. You have a government official, which I don't, you know, if anybody runs politically, in my mind, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever. Okay, as soon as you open your mouth because you're running for something, you're immediately lying. I don't care. That's just what
I've seen
in my time. There's a joke about that, all right? Now, here's my point. When you got a guy that sits here and actually states that it's a biblical law to take children away from their parents at the border, the biblical law.
They're going to have to show that to me because I don't remember it.
I've never seen that.
I ain't either.
Where did they get that from?
Well, here we go. Here we go. You got a government that has told you any manner of things like eat the GMOs, they're good for you. Take the vaccine, it's good for you. Go to war and fight the war because we're protecting our country, even though this war has nothing to do with us, and it's way the frick over there in the poppy fields. It's okay, don't think about that. It's a war and we need to support our people. These are lies that we know. Like you said, two dog. If their lips are moving, they're lying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got that taken care of. Okay. There is no use rehashing the fact that our government leaders are corrupt. There is no use rehashing the fact that the New World Order is a control, has been a control, and has controlled our science, our history, our political system, our education, our health system, our food system. Everything in our lives has been a lie. So where do you go from there? Do you keep talking about the lies that they said? Or do you come together and say, enough, let's stop. We have no business discussing what we already know. So where are we going to go from here? That's the cure.
I totally agree. But here's my point. Here's another thing. And I'm just saying this for people that may not have heard this thing or know about it, okay? What he actually said was God has ordained government, so you must respect that. God has done it.
Well, I believe he took some biblical text way out of context because...
the Apostle Paul, yeah. Whatever, you know.
But what Patty said, I've been waiting to hear that for a long time because...
I agree with her on that.
We're talking about... We know they're corrupt. But as long as we're going to sit around and do nothing but argue back and forth of who's the corruptest or what's corrupted, then we're not pushing forward to enacting all the solutions that we've brought to the table for who knows how many years. If I scroll up here on the Knights of the Round Table and there's a drop down menu and open this tab, I look on there and I see podcast after podcast after podcast. I mean, all the way down. It's a long page. There are tons and tons of podcasts. And in every single one of them, we talk about all kinds of solutions to the problem. And most generally, the main solution to all the problems in the world is getting us to the table to start having that open dialogue and enacting all the solutions that we found through all our research. Everything from alternative medicines to alternative media to alternative energy, it's all been put at the table. We're sitting here right now at a buffet of information in front of the World Wide Web that we have access at our fingertips of the vast sum of all man's knowledge, like my friend Simply Steve always says. We have access to technology and knowledge that we could actually, people for people, bringing this stuff together, working on it together, let that government do whatever that government's going to do. We don't have to agree with it. We can build a society side by side with that government before too long. That entire government system becomes irrelevant. They don't no longer exist because nobody's using them. Nobody's playing their game. Nobody's falling for their propaganda. It takes a soldier to pick up a gun to go to war. You can't have a war if you ain't got soldiers willing to pick up
a
gun.
There you go. There you go. You hit it on the head. We are the ones that make this system work. We are the ones who put the blood, we put the sweat, we put the tears, we put our life essence into this monster. And we feed it, and we care for it, and we groom it, and we make sure that it continues day after day after day to bring us the destruction of our life, of this globe, of this earth. We make it happen. It can't happen without us. So while we're talking about our governments and how bad they are and corrupt they are, and we're leaving ourselves out of this equation, then we're still not seeing with clear eyes. We are part of this system as long as we say, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to support the community the way the system wants me to. I'm going to go to war and support my country the way the government wants me to. I'm going to allow my children to be educated in the falsities of history, science, math, and all of this stuff. I'm going to allow my children to be programmed to follow the party line. But my government's bad. Boy, them son of a guns are corrupt. Who the heck are we fooling? I mean, are we fooling ourselves? Are we trying to say that I'm going to absolve myself of all guilt for what is going on, that I'm going to place it on the government that I know is corrupt? Because I can tell you, I can go on for hours and hours and hours. I can go back through history. One of the reasons I don't talk about what happened to my ancestors on this continent and why I don't get angry at the white man for what he did was because we allowed it to happen and we were part of it and we are still part of it. And it makes no sense to me because until we change things, we don't have, as long as we're sitting there saying, you did me wrong, you did me wrong, you did me wrong, we're blaming the wrong people. We're blaming the wrong people.
Yeah, it's the manipulators that we should be angry at.
And ourselves for going along with it and saying, it's okay. You know?
I had an individual from England that actually sat with me. And I'm going to say it like this because this is what he said. He wanted to apologize to us, you know, for the wrongdoing that England did here, okay? And I'm like, look, wait. No apology, because this is a thing. What I said was, he was not there, neither was I. And what our ancestors did to each other, okay? You wasn't there, I wasn't there. If we can't have this communication now, it's time to start talking to each other.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing too, Doug, as we're saying today with society, that our government is corrupt and look how it's corrupting our children, our health, da-da-da-da-da. Back then, it was the same thing. When they first came here and started usurping our country, taking it away from us, we helped them to do that. We didn't stand, we complained about it, but we didn't come together. The nations never came together. We were fractured. That's how they do it, and that's how they're doing it now.
Let me say this.
In the time of Wounded Knee and the American Indian Movement, I'm going to say this. The government actually sat with the Oglala Nation, okay, from my understanding of this in 1973. And what I understood the government say is that we are a nation of laws, not people. Now, what was stated in that council by a grandmother, I do believe, okay, is that is your law there when you die? Is your law there when you're born? People are, not law.
That's right. That's exactly right. And when you succumb to the law and shirk your responsibility to the people, I mean, who made these laws? Did you, Two Dog? Did you, Shaziz? Barb? Did I? I had nothing to do with these laws. Who decided that these laws could be put on me? Who decided that? They didn't come ask me.
And when it came to say the Indian people, no disrespect here, but when it came to Indian people, they changed the law like a drop of a hat.
Well, we're talking about the main law, Creator's law, of one that has been completely overlooked and forgotten, and we have a people's law or cabal law or government law or political law, you know, that we are all now ruled under.
Yes.
And we had the, basically, the Creator's law of one was lived by, according to, you know, all nations, the black, red, yellow, and white, lived according to Creator's law. And that has been completely overlooked, forgotten, and denied today, of course, deliberately. That's what I feel. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I totally, myself, and Patty, I'll give this to you. As far as try to do no harm to nothing and no one, and try to be at the law of one, I try that so hard. I try to do that as much as possible.
The problem
is that, you know, some people try to push, but I will not be pushed out of the vision I've gotten by the Great Spirit, and I'm not going to be pushed from it. But my point is that, you know, people are there, not your law, their law.
And that's the Creator's laws about the people. We are all really one people, one nation, all together.
It's like
right?
it's like the positive negative thing. Okay, and I'm just going to say this. I've sat with the Mahdi. I've sat with the Cherokee people. I've sat with England. I've sat with Wiltshire. I've sat with a church, so to speak. Okay. If I was negative about this and talk like, you know, oh, it was the white man's fault, and all this, you know, silly crap from our history, but not now. Yeah, I remember our history. Yes, I do. Because you remember, I don't want the same thing happening. If you don't remember your history, it's a good possibility, what I was always told. But if I did not sit with them in a positive way and start talking to them, this was what's going on, and that Wiltshire flag would not be flying with mine right now, you know, as we met. If I was negative, they ain't coming.
I wonder if I might plant a seed of wisdom.
Sure.
Only the guilty can apologize. And only the victim can accept or reject that apology. And we've been tormenting one another because of our ancestors for so long, you know, and we feel like we have to apologize for something that we weren't part of. And so I want to put that seed out there for people to contemplate on. While I'm sympathetic for what's happened in the past, and I feel like, you know, I'm sorry my ancestors did this, but only the guilty person...
You didn't do it.
...can apologize. And only the victim of that, whether it be crime or whatever, is able to accept or reject that apology.
Can I give you a true story that actually happened to me once?
Yeah.
This is an actual true story, all right? That was a little white child that I went to school with, right? This white child did not like me. He called me the red N-word and everything, and he actually told me to go home. And this is like, you know, go home back where you come from, right? And I'm thinking to myself,
on her home.
Wow. Huh. But all of a sudden, you saw his mom. His mom come out and popped this child in the back of the head. But a child went in the house. And his mom walked over to me, and she actually apologized for what this kid said. But she asked me to do something later on that night. And what she actually asked me to do was to walk in her backyard, and she gave me permission to do it. And to set up a tent and sleep in the backyard and wait till the morning till that child went back out there.
Well,
because actually that is my own.
Yeah.
I was like, that just tripped me out.
Look at it this way. Look at it this way. We have one earth, one place where everybody who lives has lived will live can call home.
Yep.
There is nobody that can tell you or me or anyone else to go home, because this is home.
Amen.
Wherever you are is home. Now, I have one more thing I want to say. We talk about the natural law. Okay, think about this. The Creator, this law that came with us from the Creator at the time of our birth, this law that says, do no harm.
Yep.
Did the Creator know then that we would be able to cause harm enough to put the law out there for us to begin with? And if so, then we all should be rethinking. We should be rethinking this Creator's law and saying to ourselves, wait a minute, wait a minute. So if Creator knew we had the propensity to go against each other, to hate, to harm, then maybe we got off track a long, 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 long time ago. And maybe this propensity that we have is being played upon over and over and over and over.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe, I agree with you on that.
Maybe
we should stop playing.
Maybe we should stop allowing them to control us and manipulate us and keep us separated and hating each other. And this race, the race word and the separation and all this, the religion, the difference of religion, my God, your God, our God,
yep.
All this stuff. It's like, yeah, rethinking that law, Creator's law of one. It says it all. Creator's law of one. We are all one. Yeah, we have one earth here, one home planet here. One place where we all live, we all have the same heart, we all have the same dreams, desires for peace, for our children, our grandchildren. We all want clean water, we all need clean food. What happened to Creator's Law of One? I think it was a deliberate, you know, elimination of it, a systematic elimination of it, to get us where we are today. And it is in our hands, because Creator also gave us free will.
Well, that's why I think there might very well be some tough love going on until we can learn about where we're supposed to be. You know, we're allowed to hurt each other. We're doing it. Well, look what we're doing to each other out here in this world. For resources for differences, we're warring with each other. We're allowing people in this world to starve to death. You know, there's people that say, they get mad at God. You know, they say, well, if God was so loving, why would he allow children to starve to death? He doesn't. It's us. We're the ones who were given dominion over this earth here, and we're the ones that were given the responsibility of what's going to happen to us in the future. We could, with the technology right now, we could feed every starving child, man, woman on this planet. We could shelter everybody. We could give them clothes. We could give them security. You know, we could take care of each other. And with all the resources available, we could live in quite literally a heaven on earth if we chose to do so. But instead,
It's only a choice away.
Only a choice. It's a free will, and we were all given the original instructions of how to be stewards of this earth. That comes with the, you know, part of this creation, part of Creator's Law of One, the stewardship of the earth, of each other, harmony and balance. All the ones who came throughout history that we know of brought the same message. Even the white buffalo calf woman brought the same message.
Yep.
You know.
You know, we were taught young that stories were important, that when you met a person, that it wasn't important about their job, it wasn't important about their status, it wasn't important about their religion. What was important was being able to sit with them and say, tell me your story. Because within those stories, we found the ability to connect with each other, to go heart to heart, instead of letting the mind, as Barb calls it, the monkey mind, jump in. Because the monkey mind is first to make the judgment and say, oh, you were just a janitor. Oh, so you've been poor. You're not you're not up there with you're on this political or you're on that religious. That's the monkey mind that jumps in there that usurps the natural law. Okay? So when we were young, I was promoted by my family to listen to the stories. When you meet someone, you don't want to know about their political stance. You don't want to know. We didn't even ask last names. I still don't ask your last name. I don't care about your last name. I care about you. I care about the person and the experiences that you had. That's where my knowledge comes from. That's where my understanding comes from. And that's where our connection comes from. It has no bearing. Political, ideology, religious, all of this stuff, that's okay. I mean, it's interesting that you believe that way, and I have my opinions on that, but that's not who you are. I want to know your stories. I want to know what happened in your life, what your life was like, the good, the bad, the ugly. I want to laugh with you. I want to cry with you. I want to share my life with you. And when we do this, all those other things kind of melt away.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore. And when you come away from that, when you sat with someone and heard their stories, and you get up and you walk away with wisdom, you walk away with understanding and knowledge, and you walk away with a greater respect of that person. You know?
Don't you feel that when you hear another person's story, that their story is very much like your own story, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Not much different.
Actually, when I meet people here, I do the same thing, Patty. I do the same thing.
You know, I know.
Kind of like that phrase that they're always talking about, walking a mile in someone else's shoes to understand where they came from, you know. It's, unless you're actually that person and you know the trials and tribulations they had been through, unless you have ears and you're willing to sit down and listen to somebody else's life or perspective, you're never really going to know them, you know, and you may very well miss out on something profound. And like you mentioned, that their life story isn't much different than yours. They might have traveled a different road or something like that, but we're all looking and seeking the same exact thing. We want peace and harmony in our world. We want good things for each other. That's what gets me. How that these people in the top of the pyramid, the power structure, so to speak, can quite literally manipulate good people into doing bad things. I mentioned earlier, I think it was off air when I said it, but there was a experiment that they did where when authority said it was okay, there was a person supposedly taking a test. And they were on the other side of the wall. You didn't see them, but they were there. And you were supposed to, whenever they got a wrong answer, you were supposed to push this button, which would give them the other person an electrical shock. And then the more questions they missed, the higher the electrical shock, all the way up to a terrible shock and a fatal shock or whatever. But the experiment showed that most of these people would quite literally follow what the authority said and take that all the way up to that lethal shock. And they wouldn't question that they did it. They'd just do it. They would follow orders, you know.
Well, in that study also, there were those who took it upon themselves. After doing it so many times, they got so comfortable with what they were doing, they were willing to shock these people more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
What really surprised me about that study was that complicity to harm someone else, knowingly harm someone else, but because somebody was saying, you know, do this, you know, it's okay to do that, just push the button. If they give a wrong answer, push the button, hurt them. And that there was not one, I don't recall ever, do you?
Yeah.
One saying, well, I don't want to do that, or I can't do this, or... Was there? I don't remember.
Well, because
sure,
they told him in the beginning that it wouldn't be a bad shock and that and made him feel comfortable that they would not be bringing any real harm. And it's the same thing, if you remember, they did the study at the university where they had the jail, and they had some of the students were the wardens, and some of them were the prisoners.
Right. Yeah.
And it started out with the wardens being timid, wanting to do the bad things, and then at the end of it, they were on their own, and they had to stop the study because they were getting out of control.
Yeah.
They were taking it into their minds that this was a reality, that they were actually these wardens who could promote this pain and suffering and get away with it.
Yeah.
It's human nature to want to seek a higher point, right? We want to, if you're a spiritual person, what do you want to do? You want to rise up in ascension. You want to gain wisdom and knowledge. If you're a political person, you want to rise to the top. If you're a corporate person, you want to rise to the top. This is the natural aspect
evolution.
Right. But it gets out of control because we're not able to handle this type of power.
Yeah.
There are no checks and balances.
Exactly.
We will ignore the checks and balances.
And if you have the authorities basically running everything and they're telling you do this, do that, do this and that, and you will have success or you will be on the top of the whatevers, people do it. They don't think. They don't use discernment. They, you know, don't come from their heart. It's just, I guess you could say, it's just about the non-thinking, ignoring your free will or compassion or tenderness or love or humanity, morals.
In my spiritual growth, where I'm at now, if I was part of that particular deal, I would visualize myself being on the other side of that machine. And there would be a stopping point for me. You know, maybe a little buzz. I might do it for humor purposes because I knew it didn't do nothing to them or whatever. But nonetheless, I wouldn't take it to the extreme where I basically kept going all the way up to the lethal shock or whatever like that. That's just how I feel like I would react these days. But take me back in my youth where I didn't know anything about authority or anything like that, I probably would have done what everybody else did. You know, and that's hard to admit because I like to think of myself as somebody who cares about others and peaceful and loving. But if you think about the youth that's growing up today and the way that they're being desensitized through video games and TV and media to where, you know, death is just a thing. You know, it's not nothing bad. You know, and that's the future that you're witnessing unfold before your very eyes. Paul Harvey in 1965 explained what we're seeing today. You know, was that a prophetic vision that he said? But where you're actually seeing it play out before your very eyes and all of this stuff, and the reason I said this has been going on for hundreds if not thousands of years, that these people who found themselves in position of power and wealth and whatever notoriety, that they've been manipulating the average Joe and Jane for all these years so that they can stay in power.
I'm going to say what I saw yesterday morning, okay? And yeah, we're worried about these leaders and what they say and how they do, and it's politics and all this stuff. That's ridiculous anyway. But I was sitting here on my front porch after my prayers, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and then all of a sudden, right in my front door, almost right in my front door, okay, there was this beautiful doe, and she brung up a almost brand new newborn baby, right?
That's
and just funny. Looked at me. And you had the little newborn baby kind of just playing around out there. And she actually looked like she bowed and turned around and ran off. And I'm thinking, what a beautiful world. Why are we messing around with it?
Yeah. That's amazing.
And thank you, Grandfather, for letting that happen, because that was she almost walked in my front door. Right at my porch. No, I didn't. I was like, what the heck is going on here? But that makes me feel, that made me feel better.
There's a higher purpose for all of this. I'm positive of that. And in nature, if you allow nature to speak to you, it will. There's no
doubt. It does all the time anyway. We ain't listening.
Yep. That's the key that everybody's got to get to realize. You know, all this stuff, all this bad stuff going on in the world doesn't have to be. You got more power than you can possibly imagine, but you got to choose to use your free will to make it so. You don't have to stand there and listen to hateful, racist jokes, you know, from your friends. You can walk away. I don't approve, and walk away. You know, that's a simple example. But even with your government, you don't have to stand there and allow your government to abuse your friends and your family and your neighbors and you know, people from other nations. You don't have to stand there and allow them to do that. None of us have to.
I was in Chicago in the very early 80s, bruh. And I worked in this place called Burton's Automotive, right? And it was like 98% Mexican people that I was working with, right? I am the first American Indian to actually almost get deported. They put me on the bus. So you think about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's probably a whole lot of people that probably should get deported, you know.
And well, what I keep saying is don't get on the bus, don't get on the train, and don't get on the ship.
Senators, congressmen...
They put they
need
me
to be
on
deported.
The bus. That's
the mainstream
I'm
media.
I'm glad you got off.
The mainstream
media.
Oh,
I was messing with them. I was sitting there laughing at them and messing with them because you're fixing to port an American Indian to Mexico. Oh, I can't wait to see this. You know, I couldn't help it. I was cracking up.
Man, some of the things that we've had to deal with in our lives is mind-blowing.
But, you know, I consider whatever happened to me in my time, and grandmother, I'll give it to you after I say this, but whatever has happened to me, good, bad, and ugly, I don't, you know, I accept it all. But even the good, even the bad and the ugly, it's made me who I am now.
Right.
So, you know, you take that and you try to learn from it.
Yep.
Well, I guess I was going to say, getting back to the deer coming into your yard, I've been saying, you know, the animals are trying to tell us something big time. You know, the animal behaviors, we've been kind of like looking at it over the last couple of years, and either they're coming together, that unusually coming together, like animals that would ordinarily be predators. Or, mm-hmm. I saw this amazing video of this in Africa, this full-grown female elephant and this lioness and her cub. Okay, it's a beautiful thing. It's extraordinary. So the photograph is the elephant has this baby, the cub, in her trunk, sitting on the trunk. Her trunk is twisted in like a little seat. And she's carrying this lion cub, and the mama lioness is walking beside her, and they're walking down the road. That basically the people who took the photograph said that it seemed like they were on a long journey, but the little cub seemed to be having trouble, struggling, you know, like getting tired out. It was just a baby. And that mama elephant picked it up, and they're walking across the road together. So you're looking at these kinds of behaviors. Well, that's one type where these animals are coming together in a way that is unusual. Like, they would be predators ordinarily, but they in this particular instance, they're not. And then you have these other types of behaviors where animals are turning on people that wouldn't ordinarily turn on humans. You know, they would basically avoid the humans or run away or whatever, but now you have different things happening. It's almost like you say, I think these animals, you know, are getting really angry, just like,
well, they
the
can't
mother.
Make signs, you know. They can't make signs and march to Washington.
They can't,
or,
right?
Right. So they only have their ability to let you know.
they're raiding the villages and stomping on the people. And I mean, I'm just saying, the animals, you know, nature, Mother Nature herself, the sacred mother, Makaina, is trying to talk to us, and as all the beings are. And I just think that people need to wake up about the bigger picture here. It is about humanity. It is about our morals. It is about, you know, the frequencies of compassion and love. And this is where we are today. If you want to talk about prophecies unfolding, many prophecies, biblical prophecy, we're looking at that, and like you said earlier, are the controllers affecting prophecy and creating this to happen? That's a possibility. You know, what's the bigger picture here? Because we're all a part of this. Where are we going? What do we want? And again, if we did all sit down together, you get all people from all nations like you're doing, and you sit down together, or like Patty says, listen to the person's story. I want to know your story. We'd find that we are so much alike. Really, we all want our children to be safe and healthy, you know. We all want to clean water, you know, safe place to be. Every human being, I think, really truly wants that. Or let's say the ones who are aligned to something in a good way. I mean, then there are those who are lost. And lost, I call them, some sold their souls to the devil. Then there are those who have been manipulated severely. We've all been subjected to the manipulation, to the lies and the brainwashings, which we started the show with, talking about the lies. Patty, we were talking about that tree. Well, we were talking about Devil's Tower. I popped that video into you about, you know, the various things about on the earth that are pretty extraordinary, and we accept them as what we're told they are. You know, we were talking about Devil's Tower, remember our conversation with Shaziz, about how it sure looks like a tree, you know, an ancient tree, and how big would it be? And there's other people who have the same feeling or thought that we did about that's possibly a tree. And this is found all over the world. These structures that are considered mountains, mesas, mountains, various other things, and people are studying these, and it came to my realization, because we were looking at that, and I was looking at, well, what do scientists say? Oh, well, scientists have the answer. Scientists told us how Devil's Tower was formed, right? And in this video I was looking at, the person said that, well, scientists tell us how these structures were formed. They give us this authoritarian, you know, answer. But is that true? Is that real? What is really going on? What is trying to speak to us? You know, what are the animals doing? What are people, the rise of this, the rise of that, the awakening, the chaos? We have all this stuff going on, but what can we do? What would be good to be doing together? We've talked about some of those things, about we have to stop fighting with each other. We have to stop being drawn into their fight, you know, because that's what they're doing. They're setting us up to choosing specific things that we should get angry at or fight about, right? So I'm just throwing that out to you guys.
They want us to fight. They quite literally want us to fight, because as long as we're fighting, we're making them money. We're making them money through war. We're making them money through fines and jail time and everything. If you go look, seriously, take a look at the prison system here in the United States, they are for-profit prisons. And the only way you can make a profit is if you keep the house full at all times. And so there are people in prison that probably shouldn't be in prison. And there are probably people walking free that shouldn't be walking free nonetheless.
Well, that's a positive. I mean, we can all say yes to that. But here's something that I think is important that we need to look at. You know, we're fond of going and looking up what we question, like the tree mountain. And there's a guy in Mud Fossil University who said it's a giant's foot. But when we look at science, and we go all the way back to the beginning of science, we see that science is based on theory. They don't have the answers. Yet, if we watch what they do, they'll tell us that this is the way it was. And then 20 years later, they tell us, oh, no, that's not the way it was. It was like this. So what do they create there? They create a divide. They create a place of contesting where one side will say, no, well, this is the way it was really, that's the way it was. The other side says, no, it was this way. And if we look at everything, our history, our science, our health, our political systems, our religious systems, every system that has been set up, we find that there are two sides to every aspect of this. Why is that? Why would there be two sides galvanized against each other in every aspect of our society? What is the purpose of that? The purpose is simply to divide.
Distraction.
The purpose, yes, is simply to keep people asking the stupid questions. I'm sorry, I don't like the word stupid.
Well, but, I know what you mean, though.
In Latin, it's ordo ab chao. In English, well, it's order out of chaos.
Right, and what are we doing? We wait for every crumb they send us. The dinosaurs were all cold-blooded. Oops, nope. 20 years down the road, no, they weren't. Yeah, they were. No, they weren't. Yeah, they were. No, they weren't. There's cold fusion. No, there isn't. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. You know, this is...
Here's something for you. Did you know, we all know that dinosaurs make this horrific sound, right? This big roar. It shakes the earth, right? We know that. That's what they told us. Well, months ago, I found this brand new study, where they said, no, lions actually made sounds like kittens or mewing sounds. I was like, okay, yeah. Now what?
So here we have our whole lives. This is your life. This is everything about your life is based on these aspects that were given to us by science, by history, by education, by governments. Every bit of it. Look at it. Pull it out and look at it, each side. And then logically think, where is the truth in any of this? And if you can't find it, if you can't lock onto it and say, this is imperative truth that can be proven over and over, if you can't find that, then you need to walk away from that and say, if this is not a verifiable truth, then I have no business putting this against anyone else. If I can't prove your God is more powerful than my God, then I better shut the heck up and mind my own business. You know, if I can't
the flat earth stuff.
Right. If I can't tell you empirically that science is correct on the Big Bang, then why the frick am I arguing with you about it? Right?
I just know that I'm not, my relatives were not monkeys, so that's all I know.
This is what we've got to say.
What the heck is that?
Somebody's playing.
Hang on, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But you like that? I like that response. My relatives aren't monkeys. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah, they are. No. But this is what I'm saying is that, you know, we're on the wrong track. We keep putting our faith, we keep gathering our knowledge from these falsities that can't be proven either way. And we have everything we already need without any of that. Because we have the law of one. We have the natural law that states, do no harm. And in that, it's perfect. It is perfect if you look at it. And we come into life carrying that law with us, and we live our life, our total life, raise our children in the future, and promote the future with this law. Where is the angst? Where is the argument? Where is the strife? Where is the illogic? It doesn't exist in it. It does not exist in this law. Where does this contention come from? It comes from man's law. It comes from man's history. It comes from man's political system and religious doctrines. So these are the things we need to drop. These are the things that we need to stop discussing. And we need to come to the table and discuss what really matters. How do we live with each other in peace without doing harm? We can do this. The Creator would have not given us this law if it were not possible to live in peace. And He gave us the warning. He said, do no harm. Because if you do, you break the cycle. You break the chain. You break the hoop. This is logical. It is logical. It's the most logical thing. Well, and if you don't believe that God sent this law down, look at it and see it for its purity and see it for its truth. There's no need to discuss or debate the fact that if we do no harm, that we will be in a good place. So here we have logic, you know?
Well, that's why.
Just saying.
That's why I don't believe that doomsday is written in stone, and that we actually still, to this very day, even as chaotic as things appear, still have the option in order to turn it around. But it's going to take each and every one of us working together, you know, and every time we come together with these shows, we put out all kinds of information. We put out all kinds of solutions. We actually put out a plea to the rest of the people out there to open their ears and eyes to possibilities out there. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Being able to come to the table and put on the... You know, it's kind of like when you have a family get-together, what they call a potluck dinner or something like that. Everybody brings something to the table, you know, some sort of vegetable or dessert or whatever. And then everybody has a really wonderful time. That's what we're hoping for. Bring all these people to the table. We know all the problems that need to be worked out in the world. But the only ones that's ever going to be able to accomplish that goal is the people. You, me, everybody, the average Joe. These folks out there that are in charge and running the system, they like the system. It keeps them in a lifestyle. They get to ride in limousines and corporate jets, and they get to send your children and my children over to foreign nations and fight, and they get to send guns and ammunitions in all four points of the compass. They get to make all kinds of money. Every time somebody gets hurt, even the soldiers, when the soldiers are over there fighting, you think somebody ain't getting paid when they go to the doctor's office? When they go to get medical treatment, there's medicines being sold, bandages, and all kinds of things. And I don't know about y'all, but if you ever looked at a doctor bill, you could be really surprised at what just the price of a Band-Aid would be. But insurance companies, all these different corporations that sell any kind of product, whether it be a food product or a weapon of war or whatever... There is so much money to be made by keeping you, the people, fighting amongst each other, by keeping this world at a total standoff with each other. They want you to not like each other because of your color. They want you to not like each other because of your spiritual beliefs, your political ideology. These folks at the top didn't get to the top by being nice. And they don't stay at the top by being nice. They manipulate you. They take advantage of your good hearts and your good wills. They take advantage of your patriotism. They take advantage of your education. They take advantage of the fact that you're not, all of you aren't like these four people sitting on this panel right here. You're not standing outside the box looking in trying to point out to the rest of people, hey, you know, there's better air out here. Why don't you come out here and breathe and you can see what's actually going on in there. We're trying to get you people to the table. We're trying to bring you here to, or any other network for that matter, that's looking into all kinds of ideas and solutions, from everything from alternative medicines to alternative media, alternatives to the system that we all despise. We don't just sit around and complain. We might bring the information to you in a creative fashion, like today I said, lies sound plausible when truth is stranger than fiction. So everything's on the table. I ain't seen an alien from outer space, but I can't tell you that they don't exist. I ain't seen a demon that I can prove, but that's what I'm saying. If all these belief systems that we've got, and even mine, if anything in this world falls into question, then everything in this world falls into question if it was written or made by man. I believe in a higher power. Can I prove that higher power, a divine entity such as God? No, I can't. But, you know, what I can prove is, from all the things that we've seen, and everything that we've witnessed throughout history, and all the resources available to us, and the bits of science that used to, in my opinion, used to be real science, where you observe and you test and you can repeat and you can learn things of how nature actually functions. Nature's the best teacher. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Nature is what taught us about the birds and the bees and how things work. But until you're willing to exercise the gifts that you've been given, until you're willing to be a good steward of the land that you're standing on, until you're willing to work in harmony with each other and work in harmony with nature, we're going to see a continuous decline in the way that society heads into the future. And our children, they're relying on us to be good caretakers, to be good leaders and guide them into a better future. You know, we're paving the stones that they're going to be walking on into the future. And I, for one, want to see my grandchildren and their grandchildren have a better life than what we've seen. And Two Dog, he has history, and Barbara has history, and Patty has history of things that happened to their people in the past. But we're not sitting here saying that you're the bad guy because of what color you are or the whatever. We're just saying that, you know, if you can't learn from what you've seen, that history, and you're doomed to repeat it. These are, as some people say, cliches or whatever, you know. It's a fact, though. If you can't learn from something, you stick your finger in the fire the first time and it burnt, and you do it the second time and it burnt, it's probably going to burn the third time as well. Common
discernment.
Yeah. That's it. That's what we do here, Patty. We discern between all the information that's presented to us. We're not saying that we got the only answers, because, truthfully, we've all been lied to. We've all been manipulated to some extent. But some of us have realized that these lies have been told. Some of us had noticed that they were in, what's the word I'm looking for? Things just didn't jive. You know, they didn't match up. Things didn't add up, what we were told as opposed to what they're saying now. And it was matching, I'm 52 years old, so when I went to school, we learned what I believed to be real science, where you actually test it and see how it works, and you can explain it and, you know, develop theories and such. But we were told later on that certain things were happening that we're like, wait a second, you said this and now you're saying that, and so there, now you've got two sides that are now pitted against each other. Those that believe we went to the moon, and those that believe we didn't go to the moon. Those that believe the earth is flat, those that believe the earth is round. Some folks believe it's hollow or concave or convex. That, none of that matters. The ship we're living on, this earth, this home that we're all living on, when we tear it up, it's all hands on ship when this thing goes down. World War III, scorching the land in fire and radiation. You know, it's all hands on ship. It's everybody. It's me, it's you, it's your family, it's your friends. It's everybody who suffers when these turkeys that we call representatives out there run amok. And they lie to you to get you to say, yeah, I'll elect you. Or we even willing to choose the lesser of two evils, two politicians that you know are lying the moment they open their mouth, but one of them's lying a little bit less, and you kind of agree with this guy over here, so I'll go elect you instead of doing research to find maybe a third party candidate that will do a better job. You know, actions speak louder than words. And if their track record stinks for the last 4 to 8 years or however long they've been in the office, then chances are it's going to continue to stink and maybe even possibly get worse. But if you do research...
Now, yeah? I want to tell a story.
Go ahead.
You know, I was about, 25, 26 years old. And I had a vehicle. And I used to go to this gas station all the time, and I used to get gas. And it changed hands. And quite a few times. But I kept going to the same station. And all of a sudden, my car started kind of acting up. And we tried everything. We couldn't fix it. So I put it in the shop there because he had a, the guy had an auto shop. And I was complaining, you know, one day about my car. And he says, well, bring it in and I'll check it for you. So I brought it in. He checked it for me. And he says, oh, it's this. It had something to do with my carburetor adjustment or something like this. So I paid the money, you know, and he fixed the car. And about a month later, the problem came back. And I brought it back up there, and I said, well, look, this problem's back. And he says, oh, it must have got out of adjustment again. I said, well, how does that happen? He says, oh, well, sometimes, you know, these old motors, da-da-da-da. So he fixes it again. I paid the money out of it again. Well, about a month later, I'm saying, well, it's happening again. He says, well, you need a new carburetor. And I said, what? And I said, but you just adjusted this and everything. Yeah, but it's an old carburetor, and I need to readjust it. So I went home, and I was talking to my neighbor about it, and she says, you know, my car's acting up too. And same way. And I said, wow. And she says, yeah. She says, he adjusted mine. It's still messed up. And I'm going to have to take it back up there. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. I mean, either it's an epidemic of cars getting sick, or something's going on here. So I started asking around, and I started asking, and I found people saying, don't go to that gas station. That guy has bad gas. What? Yeah, he has bad gas. So I started thinking about it. I said, now, wait a minute. Okay. So I didn't have any problems until this guy took over the station. And then all of a sudden, my car starts acting up, but he's willing to fix it for me. He knows what the problem is.
Yeah.
So, and it didn't fix, but I went back to him, and he said, well, it's because it was out of adjustment, and now he wants to put a new carburetor. Wait a minute here. Huh. So I went and took it up to another shop, and I said, this is what just happened, and I told him the stories and everything, and the guy didn't even have to look. He told me, he says, that guy has got a racket going, and you're being played.
Yes,
yeah, right?
Like the government.
Right. So discernment. Yes. Discernment is important, you know? And asking questions is a good thing, and because you find answers. But this is what I'm saying, is the world works this way. If you don't use discernment, then you're going to be in the shop over and over and over.
That's
right?
It.
Just saying.
That's why we're all still fighting.
It's like you're going to have to come back around and do it all again.
Yep. And I had this crazy thought one time. Maybe this is like a Groundhog's Day where we got to keep on reliving this over and over until we get it right. Who knows? But nonetheless, it's coming to that time again. We're down to the wire. We probably should have already been gone, but these shows, they take on a life of their own, and it's hard to leave up out of here after a version of the Knights of the Round Table. And I'm actually now looking forward to the next one, because it was exciting this time around. But, so this is the time we go around the table. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I wanted to say there's going to be a round table, another round table today, later. What time, Patty, is it?
Is it 2 o'clock? Is it 2 o'clock? 2 p.m. Central Standard Time?
Might be your time.
Yes. What time is
it? I think it's 3 my time, but I'm not positive now. You know me and the clock. But anyway, while Gaz gets his whatever, wakes up and tells us, I just wanted to say, you know, excuse me, I'm always grateful to be a part of this panel of this show, and thank all the people, you know, out there, people for people. And if we're simulcast on Wolf Spirit Radio or wherever we're going, just give a shout out to all those people. And I hope for me, I hope that something that we spoke about today was informative on some level, or touched you on some level, or maybe prompted some, you know, to check something out, or, you know, to do some more research, or I don't know, something just touched you, I hope. And we're all learning from each other. I know I've got a ton of more stuff to learn. We're all teachers for each other, and I think it's important that we remember to sit down and counsel around the fire, even if we're not physically with each other, but to be able to communicate with each other and pay attention to, you know, like the story. Our stories are all the same, really. We're really all the same. And we all want peace. We all want really good things for our children and our grandchildren. And that's right across the board, I feel that. So the petty things that come up or that we're, you know, drawn to be, you know, affected by or distracted by, I think we have to pay attention. And I always say now is a crucial time, an amazing time that we are here on this earth. There is a great awakening, and there are other things going on that are disturbing and concerning. But there is a great awakening, and I feel it is in our hands. It is all up to us as a people, one people, Creator's Law of One means that, plus much more, that it is all up to us, you know. And like I said earlier, I carry an olive branch with me, you know, and we can get into discussions, we can get into perceptions, we can get into different viewpoints. But I think, you know, as I said, I carry the olive branch. I want to hear your story. I'd like you to hear my story. And we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say. Pilamaya. Daksha.
What about you, Patty?
Well, I have to say thank you, Shaziz, for having the round table. Every show that that you have brings people together. It opens up dialogue. And that's the thing that we have to look at is that, you know, it's like People for People Radio. We have so many diverse cultures that come together and discuss, that sit and talk without hating, without arguing, with respect. And this is a possibility. But there are people out there who do not and will not give up their points of view to discussion, who will be staunch in their beliefs. And that's okay for them. You don't have to argue with them. Arguments mean that nobody's listening. When you're arguing with someone, it means that you're trying to get your point across and you're not listening. So they're not fruitful. It's not fruitful to argue. So if there is an argument, turn around and walk away. It's okay. You don't have to prove your point to anyone except for yourself. And you will find people who are willing to sit and have dialogue with you and discuss. There's so many of us out there, so there's no need to argue with each other. So when we come together, we need to remember who we are and where we come from. That we come from one earth. We come from one existence. This is it. There is no other. We don't have many worlds to go to. We don't have many earths to support us, to sustain us. We only have the one. And we're all here together. We're not going anywhere. You're not going to get off this planet. I'm not going to get off this planet. So we have to do something here that makes sense. And we can only do that through discernment. Discernment of what is it that we truly want and how do we truly get there? Can we do it? Ask the question to yourself. Can we do it by allowing our governments to lead the way? Can we do it by allowing religions to tell us who we can accept and who we can't? Do we allow it by the education system, programming? Do we allow it by the health industry killing us? Or do we stand together? Do we shun the things that don't work for us and simply walk away? Don't argue about it. There's no use arguing about it because arguing doesn't change anything. What does change something is being proactive, is being stepping out and standing alone if you have to. And saying, I will not be a part of this system anymore. I will not support the separation and the divisions that are happening. And this is something that we need to do. It's not something that we can do. If we are ever to get past this, this is imperative. This is a have-to situation. We have to come together, because without us, if we give ourselves over to this system and allow it to lead us, then we will never change anything.
Yep.
Nothing will ever change. The only change that will ever come is when we decide that we don't need the system. And we don't. Think about it. Do we need a system that does harm, that only harms? Or do we need a way of purity of thought and of action, which comes from the first law? We just need to go back there. We just need to remember who and where we came from. And it doesn't matter what the guy next door, if he wants to come with you or not. Don't worry about him. Don't worry. He doesn't matter. If the president don't want to come with you, don't worry about him. He don't matter. The only thing that matters is where you are and what you promote. Because the more that you stand on your own, the more you empower yourselves and empower others. Just saying.
Well,
love to each and every one of you.
I agree with everything you said, but one word stands out and is actually the ultimate solution to when the title of this show today, the subject started off, Lies Sound Plausible When the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction, and making sense of it all. One word out of everything you said is the solution: discernment. What do you guys agree or disagree? Yeah? No?
Yes.
So we're all the solution, for sure.
Yep, that's it. How about you, Two Dog?
One of the things I can always say is I'm getting to the point in my life right now that peace is the only way. Unity is the only way. Understanding each other is the only way. As far as agreeing to disagree and leave it at that, what is your belief is your belief. What is mine is mine. But we can sit down and communicate. And that's what's happening now. And do I care who, you know, if I care for one corrupt dude throwing something on some other corrupt dude, their business, I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to be able to live my life as much in peace, honor, and respect and love as I can. So as far as these leaders are concerned, from one corrupt person trying to get dirt on another corrupt person, that's your life, man.
Yep.
I want to be out of it.
Well, once again, everybody, brilliant conversation, awesome information. People, peace never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. It never came from a blade of a sword. It never came from a bomb. It came from something deep inside each one of us. And we have an unlimited supply, and it's called love. And if you're willing to share that love with your brothers and sisters all over this world, if you're willing to stand up with your brothers and sisters and try to right the wrongs of the past and just try to do what's right in the future, then we have a chance to succeed. But if you're resting all your hope in our future and our children's future on politicians or representation from any type of government or any nation out there, then you're only fooling yourself, because their track record, it shows a continuous record of decline for society. It is death, it's destruction, it's craziness. It's not the average Joe that wants to pick up the gun and go to war. It's not the average Joe that wants to go fight another nation for their resources. It's these people that we supposedly elect, the elitists of the world who make money off of your pain and suffering. Those are the ones that need to be held accountable, but they'll never be held accountable until each and every one of you decide to utilize your true power, your free will, your discernment, to walk away from that system and decide to make a better world for each other. It's as simple as that. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like anything that you heard on there, anything resonates with you, you take the podcast, find whatever you like in that, chop it, throw the rest away. It don't matter. If any bits of this information, these seeds, get planted out there anywhere in this world and it makes a better life for anybody, then it was worth our time and our effort to come here and talk with each and every one of you listening in. From all the different networks and all the wonderful people in the chat rooms and the idea, I still believe in the dream. And it's a dream that we could make happen. But if you like anything you've heard here, share it with somebody, anybody. We have forever immortalized in digital cyberspace some common sense that hopefully somebody in this world will stumble on and act upon. There's one way we can fix all this stuff, and it's just like each one of these people said, we got to come together. Not under some one world banner, or some one world religion, but a one world idea that love is our true power, and we can light the way. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Terrible. All those who are king, Shazir's the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.